You're listening to Q-Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, 7:01. It is Tuesday night, a chilly day in the Valley of the Sun. I'm completely bullshitting you. It's hot as hell, and we're in an air-conditioned studio. I might want to turn this fan down. It's like a turbocharger. It's all right. He is returning from a corporate field trip today, ladies and gentlemen. Buddy Early is with us.
Yeah, and on my best behavior today.
After an earlier chastising.
And after meeting Brenda and Robin.
Oh, no, did you really?
Also,
oh, yes, we'll discuss that.
Also in studio, she's not afraid of hand tools, just unsure what they do. It's Marnie Ryer.
Hello, that's a true statement.
I know.
Goddamn, that's a true statement.
And all the way from the Q-Talk America Commissary, our nutritionalist, ladies and gentlemen, Al Perkins.
Welcome.
Welcome, one and all, indeed. I see you all made... Buddy, what... Oh, you've got a snack?
A light snack. Part of this nutritious breakfast.
Wait a minute. Al just said this was a wake-up for him. It's like a morning show for you now.
Yeah.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, it's Wake Up with Al and Buddy. Evening on Q-Talk. Maybe that's the new liners I'll have cut. It'll be wake up at night.
Exactly. Night owls. I'll be Adrian Barbeau in the fog.
I assume you two understand that.
Nothing.
I got nothing.
Come on.
I know
who Adrian Barbeau is.
That's it. That's all I got.
Adrian Barboob, as I like to call her.
Well,
who's the one that was in Maud?
Adrian Barbeau.
That's how I got it.
Yeah. She was married to John Carpenter, horror film director. So she had a brief run in horror films, including The Fog and.
Literally a brief run.
A brief run.
Oh, was she always the first one killed?
No.
Was she running an underwear?
She does an overnight. She does the overnight radio pod broadcast that they're all listening to as they're dying.
Got it. Okay.
Similar to people listening to this show.
Right now.
Yes. Well, there was a zombie apocalypse yesterday. I was telling him, like,
really?
I was driving, and like, if it wasn't illegal to use my phone, I would take a picture of the fucker that just crossed in front of me, like, big teeth grinning, obviously a meth addict, like, yeah. Swinging his arms and crossing the street. And then the parking lot of the abandoned Fry's at 17th Avenue and Camelback was seriously, hand to God, the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, they finally abandoned that place?
Oh, yeah, that Fry's has been gone for, like, 2 years.
I don't go west of 11th Avenue, so I don't
For good
know.
Reason.
Yeah, but, right.
It was so funny, though, because I'm like, is no one seeing this? There's people walking, like, aimlessly through the parking lot.
No? Not yet.
But maybe. It was so hot that everyone just had that look on their face yesterday, like...
It was fucking
Kill
hot.
Me now. Drive us. Just take a chance. Cut off my head. See if it works.
Right. We might be able to bring him back. You never know.
That's why during the summer I don't wear a seatbelt, because if I get into a car accident in the 115 degree heat, I just want to be killed.
Yeah.
Be done.
I always think that falling, like, if I fell off my bike onto that sidewalk in this heat, like, no. I didn't sign up for third degree burns. Right. Maybe a broken arm, but
it
not.
It was just a fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not Joan of Arc, for the love of Jesus.
Well, then you're starting at your feet.
Or that really why what she does it, didn't it? I don't even know.
There was no bike in that story that I recall.
I don't think so. Maybe a horse.
It could have been. Save a bike, ride a horse.
Joan Van Ark? Are you talking about from
totally
Knott's Landing?
Totally.
I was just trying to put it together.
The chat room just blew up.
It blew up. I don't know.
Oh, you
mentioned
it?
Joan Van Ark, and the chat room is
Oh, did I say
crazy.
Joan Van Ark?
No, she did.
You said Joan of Arc.
Because, I know no one's name, so I might confuse those two.
Happens.
Jean d'Arc with...
Well, Jean d'Arc, yes.
Right. Oh, we're four minutes into the show and not really anything has been accomplished yet. So, Buddy, everybody out there in the radio land is wondering what happened. You went on a field trip today.
Everybody, really?
I'm waiting.
Okay,
there were six people that I saw post on your Facebook that were commenting about it. So, what's going on?
We had this off-site employee meeting today. And now, again, this company I work for is huge, not just here in the Valley, but, somewhere else on the East Coast. And so,
a city that will remain anonymous.
In order to get everyone together, for a regular meeting where they go over, like how the company's doing or not how well it's not doing or whatever, they have to get us at this resort in a big ballroom because it's the only place that will fit us. So everyone is nervous because, like a month ago they laid off like 200 people in our building, and since then I think they're wise. I think, like, we don't want to freak people out. So instead of laying off big bunches, just like every two or three days, one more person is gone. I swear to God. And I'm wondering, when is that going to shit? When is that shit going to roll downhill to me?
Well, I got an email from your employer just today.
Break it to him gently.
Dear sir or ma'am.
So we really.
May I just.
We all were like, are we going to come back after this long meeting and the building is going to be padlocked with a sign on the door that says, sorry, suckers.
And I just pictured that scene in Drop Dead Gorgeous where the Miss American Beauties chain locked and they're like,
and meanwhile, my brand new box of Nutter Butters is still in my desk and I have no access to those. We came back and, of course, the building was still open.
And your Nutter Butters?
Nutter Butters still there. One fewer now.
She's one Nutter Butter shy of a butter.
So, yes, I do still have a job that I... Let's just say I hate my job. I mean,
well, I don't think that's any. That's not a secret.
I don't know if I was clear about it because I'm not getting job offers from our listener.
This is week. This is week 18, and I've heard it 17 of those 18 weeks.
Wait until one of our listeners calls in or gets in the chat room and says, "I have a job for Buddy."
Right. And if week one, your job would have been in my basement, we would have included it then.
Is Doug Wilkie monitoring that? Because he can let me know.
We're trying to get in the goddamn chat
right now. No, but Joe is in there. Leslie Baldwin, Josh Rivers, Harrison.
Yes.
Not Ford.
For some reason, the chat won't load on one laptop. It loads on the other one. I don't know what the hell it is. But hey, I'm still good. We're good.
I learned about this refresh button at the bottom.
Oh, where? Well, I have to find the goddamn page first.
All right, you're no help. Marty, what have you been up to all week?
Oh. Were you done, Buddy?
Okay. Yes,
he is now.
Al says so.
Well, I didn't want to, you know, jump in there. I had a great week. It was a surprise
awkward
even to me.
Pause, yeah. Awkward pause.
Surprise even to me. It was a great week. Had the Winks reunion on Saturday.
Yes, we did.
That was very fun.
Marnie blindsided me.
Totally blindsided
me. No, I don't think Marnie did. Well, I think my mother
actually,
did.
Actually, by the way, it was your
mother. My arch nemesis?
It was, exactly. It was Di.
Clayton's mother your arch nemesis?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
It was Di that blindsided you. But I invited them. Because I love them.
They were actually very cool. If you don't know what we're talking about, I met Brenda and Robin. And it was hilarious because
that's funny.
Was it you or your mom who actually warned me when they walked in?
I think
it was your mom.
No, I think it was me because... Well, I think it was me because I said that I was sitting right next to you, and then all of a sudden, Brenda walks around and says what she said. But my mom leans over to me and she goes, "I tipped him off."
They come right up to me.
Well, Di apparently leaned over. I'm sorry, leaned over to Brenda and Robin and said, "Do you guys listen to the show?" And yeah, they do. And she says, "That's Buddy."
So,
and there they went.
They walk over, and
Brenda was priceless.
Yeah.
Either Brenda and or Robin, I don't know which one says, "Hi, Buddy," and I said,
Brenda.
"Hi," and she said, "I'm Brenda. This is Robin," and I just about lost it.
Well, you wanted to bury your face in that pitcher of beer you had because you were like, "I'm just going to hide."
Yeah. Oh no, you have nothing to be ashamed of. You're a proud supporter.
I will say
whatever letter they represent.
They clearly have a very good sense of humor because they laughed about it and.
They're very sweet.
I came out and my tires were slashed, but I don't know if that was them.
Well, don't jump to conclusions.
I still know what you did last summer, and I want my hubcaps back.
Bitch.
That's not.
Funny. Yeah, no. But that was very fun, the Winks reunion. And that Brenda and Robin had Robin's brother.
Roger.
Roger was there. Big shout out to Roger. And he has Down syndrome. And so... It was very, very fun.
He is so much
fun.
He
had a blast.
God,
he really did.
He is hysterical.
When Pussy LaHoot gave him a kiss on the cheek, oh my God.
Done. For the rest of the night, he kept pointing at his cheek.
Uh-huh.
He's like, "I got a kiss." He was at my mom's 60th.
Pussy LaHoot.
But they were all wonderful. Barbara, Puss, Celia, they were amazing with him and had so much fun. But 5 years ago, almost now, God. When we had Mom's 60th birthday, he just thought that was great. It was Phaedra and Dottie, and Roger was just all about it. He could not get enough. He loved giving them the dollars, and he likes dancing with them and having a good time. So he had a fantastic time.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
That was it was very. And he'd get down off the stage because they'd have him come up on the stage with them. And there were tables of people that were just like putting both hands up, high-fiving him, and he's going all around the bar. Crazy, crazy man. So it was very fun. Sunday, I went to AMC Esplanade for the second time.
Are they a sponsor? I don't think you should mention them.
Sorry.
Yes, you should, because they... I love the no one under 21 admitted.
Hadn't been in that side until Sunday. I had been on the other side.
Which is, you have to be 18, I think. No, yeah. Under 18, but you have to be with someone over 18.
Right, because alcohol can be served, whatever. Yeah. Oh, my God. The difference between the two sides?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the chairs.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
Aside from the chairs, just anywhere I can go where there's no kids, I'm on
there.
Board with
three
this.
Three extra dollars
yes.
here.
Yes. Oh, is that what the difference was?
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention.
$3.
Yeah.
I didn't really pay attention.
Oh, did you go with her to a movie?
No. I went to a movie, though. That's coming
you
up.
You saw
in
Ted.
It's coming
up. No,
yeah.
no. Yeah. Which she never does. And I hardly go to movies, but I saw Hope Springs, which.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah.
It, you know, cute. I personally enjoyed it. But I'm not a critic like the two of you, so I'll be intrigued.
I've heard good things.
Yeah.
It's next on my list.
It wasn't exactly what I expected, but I very much enjoyed it.
May I just?
Yes.
Does that $3 thing work in other parts of society? Like, can I go into a restaurant and say, here's $3, take your kids out of here?
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, from your mouth to God's ears.
Oh, that would be great. The other thing, when months ago we had talked about the... idea of all the previews, 19 minutes of previews, I think you had said.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. So I thought, oh, here we go. Shit, we're going to be here forever. 5 out of 6 of the movies that they previewed, I want to see.
Yeah. That's
rare for
that
me.
That is how they work?
No, but that was rare.
Just kidding.
Usually I'm watching them and I'm like, could we move on? I'm never going to see that. There was only one, something about Bin Laden, that I was like, no. Mm-mm,
oh, that's the new Catherine Bigelow movie?
Wait a minute, we're getting to that later.
Okay, well, because I was just, whatever I saw on there, I was like, no.
No, okay, we'll get to that later.
That's
just part
me.
Of my
that's
five things or whatever.
That's the new Catherine Bigelow Hurt Locker movie.
Say, I could sit for 2 hours and watch trailers. I really could.
I'm the dumbass that, like, I watch when I get a Blu-ray and I put it in and I'm like, ooh, movies. Because I know they're already out and I can rent them, so I'm always
excited.
And then
you're excited. No, this one, but that's new for me, because usually I'm like, Jesus, get on to the movie. And no, this was 5 out of 6 of them, so
yeah,
I'm excited about that.
I'm like snout to tail cooking on the DVD. I watch the previews, like nothing leaves there but
right,
the bone.
Usually I'm like
and a couple handfuls
it,
of fur.
And, yeah.
I want to watch the extra features, the directors, how do we make that?
Well, that's all I have for a full week, but it was a very exciting weekend. It was nice.
Very good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if this is accurate, but Leslie Baldwin just quoted in the chat room that she's sitting on a street corner with a 40 in a brown bag tapping into an unsecured Wi-Fi signal listening to the show.
I need
a picture.
That. I want
could
a picture.
Could, yeah, Leslie, get a picture.
We need proof. I need proof. We need to put
could
it
you
on the
send
website.
That into the, post it on the Q-Talk website
yes.
or something. Yeah, well,
it has to happen.
Well, there was something in here about the...
I want you leaning against a wall.
My corner Little Caesars might be serving up bath salt, so I guess I'm glad I got security doors.
Oh, Harrison Darling from LA is in here too. I didn't realize that.
I said that about 20 minutes ago.
I was busy doing
I know,
other
things. You weren't paying attention.
Yeah, I was, but minimally.
All right, so is it my turn now?
Sure. Well, isn't it always, really?
That'd be weird.
It's the most wonderful
time of the hour.
Of the year. Oh, my God. No, it's Shark Week, ladies and gentlemen. Shark Week.
Yes,
all right, every time I think maybe my cable bill is too high or maybe I should buy clothes and wear something besides this dark blue t-shirt and khaki shorts, then I remember, no.
That's called branding. That's what I do.
Sure, you can call it whatever you want to. It's called fucking laziness.
That's what I originally called it, but somebody said, no, it's branding. Okay.
It's called lack of imagination. And I love that I watch Project Runway. I've been wearing the same outfit for like 8 years, literally, but I watch Project Runway. And I critique their, like, what they make. I can't sew a fucking button on, but I'm going to critique them. But anyways, Shark Week, I swear to God, I have been so far down a shark's throat this week. I think we're doing a porn. Oh, my God, the clarity. And now they do that phantom camera where they
with that fucking TV
motion. And you can see each drop of water is that shark. But
and
you
got to
figure pretty soon that the sharks of South Africa are going to start going up to the boat and being like, motherfuckers, throw me a real seal. If I bite into one more cardboard rubberized seal thing filled with camera and not some juicy, delicious fish meat.
Oh, I figured they were going to jump in the boat and ask for royalties.
Yeah. Oh, that too.
I own this part of the
ocean. Right. Hello. This is you're coming into our house.
And it is just wonderful. But luckily, it's not like the Olympics. They only have like 2 hours of original programming a day. And it's filled with commercials, so it's actually about 40 minutes of entertainment per day. You could really fast forward through it. But it's just so much fun every year. And people must find it unbelievably boring. But then they did Anatomy of a Shark Bite. And because in 2003, just when I thought, okay, maybe I'm over Shark Week. Like, maybe they've done all they can. Mm-hmm. They, my favorite year, 2002.
Okay.
They had this dumbass in 3 feet of water talking to a scientist about how safe it was to stand in the water with sharks. And of course, there's an underwater camera trying to get a great angle of like bull sharks swimming around his legs, and an above water camera to show like how many sharks there are in the water. And one of the fuckers often bit off his leg live on camera.
Oh my god.
It's a shark.
I know.
It's like Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, right?
It's time for favorite old joke. How do you turn a fruit into a vegetable? Have a tiger drag him off stage by the neck.
We're gonna get calls. We're gonna get calls.
Wow. Right, it's funny.
That's funny.
All right, Clayton McKee, what the hell did you do on me?
That's funny.
And I saw Moonrise Kingdom. Seriously, stop what you're doing.
You haven't seen that yet?
I had not seen it yet. Okay. We're like 8 or 9 weeks into its run, so it's probably gonna close soon. Stop what you're doing. Turn off the show and go see Moonrise Kingdom.
Okay.
It's the best movie since 500 Days of Summer. I laughed out loud. I actually hit the person I was with. There was a joke so funny, and I thought maybe he had lost consciousness or was unable to hear or something, but I felt I had to punch him and tell him the joke again. And he's like, I'm sitting right here. We're alone in the theater.
Were you with him, or?
Yes.
Okay.
You wasn't a stranger. Yeah, I wasn't a stranger.
So the other strange part was I actually went to a movie with another human being, which I rarely
do. That's odd for me, too. Yeah. There are very few people I would
I don't like other people.
I can't stand going to a movie by myself.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
No, I mean, it's okay, but you have to be interviewed. There's a long interview process, and I need to know, like...
Yeah, are you going to try to talk to me through the whole thing?
No.
It's okay if I talk. It's just not okay if you talk.
Do you have an obnoxious laugh? Okay. Are you going to nudge me? Are you going to... I'll tell one Barbara Seville story tonight.
Okay.
We went to see Million Dollar Baby when it was out, and... you can't, you know, a movie comes out in 2004. I'm sorry, spoiler. She ends up in the ICU as a vegetable, basically, pretty much. So from that point where she gets knocked out and then boom, the next scene, she's hooked up to a million machines for the rest of the movie. And for the rest of the movie, Barbara Seville is blubbering in my ear. And this is a packed theater, not an empty seat. And I'm like...
It's Barbara Collins.
Shut the fuck up! No, someone else, honey. Different Barbara Seville. And she's blubbering like someone just ran over her dog.
Oh, you don't want to go to a movie with me,
I'm trying to hide. And there's nowhere to move to because it's a... And people are staring.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
And so if you're one of those...
I would do that.
No.
Fried green tomatoes?
I was
crying so hard in fried green tomatoes, yeah. I think people were trying to offer me oxygen.
Yeah. Steel Magnolias, anything like that.
I was laughing too hard at Steel Magnolias.
I loved that.
I really couldn't get a good cry going on because I was laughing too hard
at the
movie.
At the end, I definitely did.
That's true. Yeah.
So you went to a movie.
Yeah. I did.
Oh my God.
It was...
My feet are cold. Is hell frozen over?
No. I did take my shoes off for my own personal comfort, though.
Yeah.
No, I did. It was a group, kind of a group of effort. It was Jason Carlton, myself, Ruben, and Mark.
Ooh, Jason Carlton is sneaking you into movies. I like him.
Well, we'd been drinking.
See? Now I know how he works this.
But what the kicker...
And he took you to a bar that has a movie.
What the...
Nice! I like
Jason Carlton, I like you a lot,
so,
darling.
The funky thing for me was we walk up, and I'm like, well, where's the box office? Like, it'd been so long since I had been there. The box office was all gone. So we go inside, we order, and I walk in, and there's...
They have talkies now.
There's a... Fuck you, yeah. I know that.
I know it's been a while since you stepped outside your radio, but...
So I walk in, and all of a sudden, there's no pimply-faced kids behind a popcorn bar. There's a full bar. I about lost it.
Oh. It took me 2 visits to find out how to order popcorn, and finally I said, like, okay, I'm liking my martini. good times.
Yeah.
Can I get a fucking thing of popcorn?
Yeah.
And of course
and
I'm
it
in,
comes in a...
Oh, and if you're in the fancy theater with the big seats, you get this giant, beautiful ceramic bowl, and I'm like, how much for the bowl? Because I like this in my home.
You've never used that line before, have you? How much for the bowl?
Sure. Oh, honey, I bought the bag.
I already own the bowl. So I saw Ted, and it was very funny. I thought it was very, very well done. I mean, to the point where there were a couple times where you're wanting to cry, but some of it's just bathroom humor and stupid, it just was funny. And my favorite, I don't want to give it away, but at the end...
Is it a bear?
It is a bear.
Oh, okay.
And it is not anything children... I don't even think 18-year-olds should be able to see this movie. There's so many things that happen in it. But at the end of it, have any of you seen Ted?
I have not.
Okay, then I'm like, you saw it?
No.
Okay.
I'm dying to. I
will go again because it is so funny. But when never mind. At the end of the movie, it's just really funny, so watch the goddamn thing. That's all I have to say.
I just go ahead, with regards to the Winx reunion
party was a good time. It's never about to me the money that's raised, because though that's a perk and it's a wonderful, the biggest thing that I love about it, and everybody thinks that I'm just being stupid and smarmy. No, because I didn't really even drink that much this year. What I really like is how many people that I see who have not seen each other in years that come together. And it's literally people who maybe they haven't seen each other in 4 or 5 years or however long. That's my favorite part, because there were so many faces and so many people that hadn't seen. Skip O'Neill was so nice. He was one of the original founders of the Aunt Rita's Foundation. Yeah. He went to Karch's Bakery and bought six or eight cakes and just brought them in. And we did a bake sale auction, just like the old days.
How nice.
Yeah. There were... Albert, former owner of Winx, brought in a couple of t-shirts. We did an auction. And Zenobia, also known as Tim Dunn, who used to do Dionne Warwick out of
Macau. Oh, right, yes. Yeah.
He bidded. I was on the phone with him, and he bidded over the phone to do the auction, so he won 2 shirts.
He just bid. He didn't bid it.
Yeah.
Did I bid it?
He done bidded.
That's like texted.
He done bidded.
I hate texted. But so he had bid on those. He won those, so I've got to send them to him. Otherwise, it was cool. It was fun. Mom was there, of course.
Yep.
But it was a good time. I was happy to be a part of that and have Barbara and Celia and Puss there all at the
same
time.
You did a fantastic job.
I know. Well, I'm going to take a Saturday off one day and enjoy some of these events.
Yeah. It's a year from now, so you got a time to plan.
Yeah, no, you really did a fantastic job getting all that together. And to anyone who keeps putting either on your Facebook wall or, you know, who might want to get some of the money or anything else that thinks that you don't give them enough notice. I'm just going to point out it's been since June, but that's okay.
Yeah, I was a little annoyed with that.
And not just the one, but I've seen a couple of things. Like, I need time to the day
off.
Well,
now we'll each week, we'll do the countdown. We'll do the Mayan calendar countdown.
It's 51 weeks until the Winx reunion party.
And then the Winx reunion party.
There was one thing that I wanted to throw out that I keep forgetting to tell you, and this is a Clayton thing, so I apologize, boys. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay, yeah.
She's a bitch.
She still hasn't answered the question from last week.
Apollo or Winx 2003 chili cookoff. There's your answer.
There you go. See, how hard was that? Yeah,
it wasn't. That's what I kept saying to myself when I was listening back to the goddamn show.
She's yelling at herself.
Just answer
the question. Chili cookoff.
Jesus Christ. It was terrifying. Anyway, it really was. Listen, it was terrible. Anyway, Mr. Clayton.
Yes, ma'am. Go.
Nemec Photography, Amanda and Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who they know? Mo and Bob.
Really?
Yeah.
Are Mo and Bob lesbians?
Really?
No.
Well, there's Kathy and Mo.
You never know.
Kathy
and Mo. Yeah. No, this is different. But they used to be neighbors. Mo?
Where they used to live out in Mesa?
I think so.
Where we moved them from?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Wow.
Anyway, so they know them, and they were at lunch. Mo and Amanda, I think, were at lunch one day, and she sent a text and said, "You know Mo?"
I know a lot of Mo.
This reminded me of back in the old days.
It's too easy, but you got to do it.
That's
a really good call.
Right.
But I thought, wow, what a small world. So I didn't realize share that with you.
But I understood that they moved to Palm Springs. I got an email that at least they had moved. So I don't even think they're in something. I don't know. Everybody retires in Palm Springs, from what I understand.
Well, I think they'd be adorable in Palm Springs.
Of course they would.
They're absolutely.
Are they flamingos?
They're older.
That's all that's adorable in Palm Springs.
No, but these two, they're older gentlemen. And like Bob sat there and told stories. Mo and Bob both. But mainly Bob told stories about... Where would you put them in age? 70s?
Oh, they're in the older. Right. They're in their right. And then
they're probably older.
And Bob.
So your age? That's nice to know.
I am
friends.
So upset. Yes.
And Bob out of the two gentlemen. Bob is from my home state of Missouri, so there was a little connection with him. And then the way they got together was Mo was a choir teacher in the Mesa School District for many, many years. His wife
like an
passed,
amazing choir kind of guy,
like national competition, so on and so on. His wife passed away. He decided, he's like, screw it, I'm going to live my own life, no matter what my kids think, what anybody else thinks. And he started hanging out and met Bob, and they've been together for, 5 years?
Yeah,
6 years?
And Bob was talking about all the underground bars back in the day.
Oh,
you remember
yes,
him telling
I do,
the stories?
Yes,
and Blackface? Do you remember all of that?
A little
he
bit.
He tells a story in blackface?
No, no, he was telling about it. He was telling about it. But it was really interesting to hear all of the stuff from right, back in the day.
Is he 70 or 170?
Yeah, you're going to write that down. We're going to
they were neighbors of Al Jolson. Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's true. Like, I'm not making that up.
You're going to have to clarify that later.
I understand.
Right. But along those same lines, if you ever want some really fascinating stories about like Phoenix bars in the 70s and whatnot and the things that went on. Steve Schimmel has amazing stories.
I'm sure he does. Like,
not the best storyteller, but he has good stories. No.
So have them right.
And somebody like that, somebody
does he tell them in blackface?
No. But what needs to happen, people like that, and in retrospect, I really wish I would have done this with my mom's father. Mm-hmm. It sounds silly to say and do, but it's like sit down with some ability to record them and let them tell the story.
Right, oral.
Because you can hear it over and over and over.
I'll write a book. Maybe I'll
That's your way out.
I've heard that you're supposed to.
According to one of our listeners, Schimmel's and Miss Ebony's.
That's your
and
way out of corporate, I'm pretty sure. Speaking of corporate, we'd like to give a shout out to Rainbow Cab for transportation needs that are both economical and on time. They brought Marnie here this afternoon,
Thank God.
You can contact them at 602-502-1367. They do like it when you book ahead. So if you've got a special event or if you simply want to be sure you get to where you're going on time, be sure to check them out. You can find them on Facebook. Just look for facebook.com/Rainbow Cab. And now, though we're running late already, nobody gives a shit. We're going to do some headlines. We got a lot to get to on this Tuesday night. A man late for a court appearance gets stopped for speeding. No, I mean really speeding. A bike theft gets a happy ending. An F-bomb is among over 100 words added to the dictionary today. A homeowner gets billed for 25 years worth of streetlight usage. A hearse driver dies while taking a body to a funeral. And a local shooting victim gets a huge donation from an area gun dealer. These stories and a couple more right here on Q-Talk America. I've got some stuff here to talk about today. This is Indiana. Indiana State Police say a motorist late for an Evansville, Indiana court appearance was clocked doing 119 miles an hour in 55.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's a felony. I think that
how fast?
119 in a 55.
Wow.
Troopers patrolling the high crash stretch of Indiana Highway 62 west of Evansville spotted the car on Tuesday morning, passing several vehicles and then lost track of it. Soon another trooper spotted the car returning to the highway. Troopers arrested 24-year-old Josh Smith of Omaha, Illinois, on preliminary charges of resisting arrest, reckless driving, and he's being held without bond in the county jail pending a Wednesday court appearance, which they doubt he will be late for. His initial court appearance was for drug possession and failure to stop. Well, clearly he can go.
Oh, yeah.
My God, that's just...
failure to stop. Well, he corrected that problem.
Yeah, he just went like
hell. He just goes like lightning through it.
I'm guessing his drug of choice was cocaine.
I don't... speed?
Or speed.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think... that's cute. Al will be here all week. Trust me, he really will be.
No, seriously.
Because it's too fucking hot to leave.
Yeah, he's staying for a while.
Because he doesn't have a change of clothes.
Beverly...
I have this one outfit.
Beverly Hills police say a hearse driver who was found dead with a body in the back of the vehicle died during the process of taking the casket to the funeral. Authorities were alerted that a body was slumped over in the driver's seat, oddly not the back, of a hearse parked near the Beverly Hills Hotel at about 3 p.m. Monday. This would be yesterday. The investigation is in its early stages, but the woman appears to have died of natural causes with no weapons or evidence of violence. The scheduling of the burial and other events related to the coordinated arrival of the hearse's passenger gave notice that there was something amiss.
Late for their own funeral.
I know, and that takes me to the idea, like, I seriously have this written down that I will be 15 minutes late to my own funeral. And Clayton, he's in charge. He's the MC. You know,
I'm not dead first.
I'm counting on that, really.
Well, we're all hopeful, I'm running.
But, you know, just the idea, like, because that would so be me. Like, everyone's sitting there, like, really?
I was at a funeral for a friend, not the Elton John song, but I was actually at a funeral for a friend once. And we're all standing there, and another friend, a living friend, taps on the shoulder and goes, see, she was late for her own goddamn funeral. And Because there's always that there's always that little bit of humor in a really sad moment where I do the embarrassing laugh that would not let me sit next to somebody at a funeral or a movie.
Yeah. I felt mildly bad. You all know Chantel Douglas passed away a few weeks back, and so I got up early and threw a hangover, got to the funeral and stood there, and I was. I was always kind of a smartass with Chantel, I leaned over to somebody and I'm like, Jesus Christ, she could even come to her own funeral. And they're like, see the little box? I'm like, she's here.
She's there.
She's here.
We went to this one funeral, just to get off on this topic. I apologize. But we're at this funeral.
Slash museum.
For a dad. No. But it was someone's dad. And so we're there just paying respects. And it was Brenda and Robin. And of course it was. And a few other people, blah, blah. And we're sitting there. And all of a sudden, the mom gets up and says, we're going to now play his favorite song.
Oh.
And out of nowhere, like you're sitting there. I found my thrill.
Oh.
We were done. Like, done. To this day. And I get this squeaky, because I'm trying to stop laughing, squeaky kind of... Awful.
Can you replicate
this? Nope, I can't. Not right now.
Is it like
maybe
a squeaky toy from a kid?
Not like that. Ow. No.
So weren't you saying one of us would have to say something funny tonight in order for you to...
We'll see.
I'll tell a funny funeral story. We're going to just tell funeral stories.
They played it twice, by the way.
Because he didn't find his thrill the first time.
Absolutely.
Isn't this for hour two?
Yeah.
I don't know. Accidental.
But I know. We're on this. So... my dad's funeral, there had been a wedding earlier in the same year. There always are weddings, funerals, always kind of go together. And I was wearing a tie at the wedding, lost it at the reception. This family friend, she picked it up and then later denied that she had the tie. And of course, this is the outfit I wear, and I've been doing this for a long time. So a suit and a tie is a kind of a really rare event. So sure. I'm like, she's got my tie. We got to get the tie back. So we had to get a tie. And then I kept asking her, I'm like, at some point during this, and I figure I got a dead dad.
Yeah.
I'm going to play the dead dad card to get my tie back.
Totally. It's an ace in the hole.
She's like, no, I don't have the tie. So we pull up in the limousine. We pull up to the church for the service. And her boyfriend steps up to open the car door to being a gentleman to let my mom out. And he's standing there. And I'm like, that's my fucking tie. And my mom starts laughing. And then all of us in the limo, like me and my sister and my mom, are cracking up laughing. So they open up the limousine door at the church for me and my family. And we come out to my dad's funeral laughing like fools.
I love it.
It was a great moment of levity, but we looked really disrespectful.
Absolutely, but I love that.
That's the fucking tie.
Well, I have.
You were on the news,
I
believe.
Did you get it back?
Did you get the tie back?
Oh, no, because that was really inappropriate.
Okay. We're going to do a local story here. Several of you have probably seen, not only on the QTalk America site, on the show's Facebook page, but my personal one. There's a local guy. Several people of you know him or have seen him. His name's Josh Rivers. He was, a couple years ago, a victim of a random shooting in a bar on the west side of town. And he was paralyzed from the waist down. But very good spirits. He found a device that will help him to walk and regain most of his independence and mobility back. And today, though he's got some fundraisers going on locally, he's raising some money for this device that costs several thousand dollars. Today, a very large single donation came in. A local gun dealer donated $6,000 to his cause to help him get there. Josh, are you with us?
Yeah, hi.
How are you, baby?
Good.
Josh, tell me a little bit about how this came about. Did the guy contact you directly, or how did this come about where the single donation came in?
It started today. I got an email from the lady who interviewed me on for Channel 5 News, and she was like, someone wants to make a big donation, and is it okay if we give him your phone number? So I said, okay. And so he called me a few hours later, and basically he's the owner of a gun company. And he saw my video on the news, and he just felt really bad about it. So he wanted to help in any way he could, so he offered to pay for this device for me.
That is fantastic. Now, the way I understand it from talking to you earlier on the phone, it was he contacted the manufacturer directly, and he literally has prepaid $6,000 toward this device for you, right?
Yes.
Wow. So congratulations.
That's fantastic. So in case you don't know, Josh, tell him there's a couple fundraisers coming up for you here in Phoenix. Let's talk about those for a quick second.
Yeah. The first one is going to be at BS West on Sunday, September 9th. And stars Morgan McMichaels from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, great.
And it'll be called a Gaga Palooza. So come all dressed up, and there's going to be about 20 performances by just a bunch of really great local performers.
Got it. And then the next one is at The Rock and also includes people from RuPaul's Drag Race, right?
Yes. Shangela from season 2 and 3. And Latrice Royale from season 4.
Fantastic.
I actually met last month when they were here in Phoenix, and they're very touched by my story. So they both have decided to donate their time to come back here and help with this fundraiser for me.
Very,
so,
very cool. And what you were telling me earlier also when I talked to you before we went on the air, you had said that not only the donation with what you've got, what you've raised supplemental so far, goes to the cost of the unit, and then there are some other things that you need. You need some physical therapy, and also there's some devices that help will enable you to drive your car again, right?
Yes. It's like a hand control system that can be installed in my car, so I won't have to use my feet, because not being able to move my feet very much is prevented me from driving the last year and a half.
Sure.
So if I got this, you know, that would just really help out with my independence. I'm very very looking forward to that. That is an additional $2,000. So all future donations will be going towards that.
Josh, that is so exciting. This is Marnie, and I just wanted to tell you how excited I am for you. My dad was paralyzed. Yeah, my dad was paralyzed from the waist down, and he had the hand controls in his cars, and just was amazing, the freedom that it gave him just the independence. So I completely get that. And to be honest with you, I tried to drive with the hand controls a couple times, and it did not go well.
I'm sure you're smarter than Marnie.
But you're much smarter than I am. No, I just, you know, because of being used to driving with my feet, that you just don't know. So, but good luck to you. I think that's fantastic.
I wanted to give out, Josh, people can find you on Facebook. It's just Facebook/Josh Rivers, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so they can find you on Facebook.
Basically, if you just type in Josh Rivers on YouTube, you can find my video. And in the description of my video, you can find the link to my fundraiser page and my Facebook and my Twitter and everything.
You're very busy. You're on every bit of social media. I've never seen anybody who's you edit videos and music and do everything else as well. You do all kinds of stuff, so you've got all this good fortune coming towards you. I'm glad to see it, and I'm looking forward to seeing you walking back into wherever you want to go.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Everybody, it's Josh Rivers. He's on his way to getting his walking back, and he'll be back in a bar near you dancing just like he used to do, I'm sure, anytime. Thank you for calling in, Josh.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I think that's just fantastic.
That is amazing.
Makes me happy to know that he got that.
Wonderful.
He originally thought the unit was $7,000, found out it's 11 grand. So the $6,000 really helps for quite a bit for this guy. In other news, Connecticut. A woman got a bill, she received a check, a refund, for $10,500 after the power company acknowledged that they'd been billing her for 25 years for 2 streetlights.
Oh.
Grace Edwards said she discovered the billing error after a prospective home buyer asked to see a history of utility charges, and the bill included 2 line items for a 95,000 lumen HP sodium light and a 63,000 sodium light, otherwise known as street lights.
Wow.
They paid her back interest, the cost plus interest, total of $10,491.
What a great savings plan.
Right.
Yeah,
right?
But the funny thing is they initially just stopped charging her, and then the state's Office of Consumer Counsel got involved, and then they decided, maybe we'll pony up the money.
Oh, it's like a 5 on your side kind of deal.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, yes. Portland, Oregon, a man who decided to sleep off a bender in a cardboard recycling bin, instead of driving home, found himself in a garbage truck the next morning. Police said that the load of cardboard had twice been compacted before the driver sensed that something was wrong.
Oh.
They found the man inside. He was a 27-year-old man. Police said this was last Friday.
He's alive?
Live. Only suffered minor injuries, and he won't face charges.
Well.
They decided, no!
For gumming up the compactor.
Before the grace of God.
That's a swing and a miss for you drunk bastard.
Oh, my God.
The term F-bomb bomb surfaced in newspapers more than 20 years ago, but will now land for the first time in mainstream Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, along with the words sexting, flexitarian, obesogenic, energy drink, and life coach. Annually, the company picks 100 editions for its 115-year-old dictionary. They do a yearly update, gathering evidence of usage over several years in everything from media to the labels of beer bottles and boxes of frozen food. So apparently they added the F-bomb, which apparently surfaced in the late 90s.
In my living room.
Well, no, actually, according to they research back, and I don't know how they did, they research back in all news articles. F-bomb was originally published in 1988 in a Newsday story of the now dead Mets catcher Gary Carter, where I guess he had saved a story where he was giving up profanity and some other things, so he said it there. And then it really took off later. Ollie, again, another sports person, Coach Bobby Knight, went into some rant spewing F-bombs everywhere in the late 90s. And then again, it was spiked again when Dick Cheney said it. And then when Joe Biden said it. So every time somebody keeps saying fuck somewhere, apparently it gives a spike.
See, I wasn't sure if you were actually talking about the term F-bomb.
Right.
Being put into the dictionary.
Or they finally said fuck was a real word.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm with you.
No, they're talking about F-bomb was actually what was published. And then again, once he said fuck on the air or whatever he said, they publish it as F-bomb. So they are now permitting fuck, I'm sure, is in there. But F-bomb is now
what,
in
what
there.
Are the other words?
Oh, the other words are
sexting.
Sexting.
Yeah, there was a sexting.
Life coach.
Flexitarian.
What's that? I don't not in character.
That's what I meant. That's what I want to look up.
A flexitarian is some, according to what I read earlier, was somebody who only eats, was it fish or feet eats? Oh, wait, flexitarian, traced back to 1988, is defined as one whose normally meatless diet occasionally includes meat or fish. That's Harrison.
That's Harrison. Well, she's going to be so mad that we said that.
Obesogenic, dating to 1986, is an adjective for promoting excessive weight gain, producing obesity. That's obesogenic. That's what that word is.
Oh, like genesis mean the origin of something. I like guess. Hallucinogenic means it caught, you know, it's the, it's how, okay.
Is freegan in there? Do you, are you aware of this now? Freegan? That fucking, I almost said the R word, on Project Runway is a freegan.
Oh, he's a dumpster diver.
Yes.
Yes, and now he's trying to make it like, make
free
it,
as it's free to you.
Yes. Yes. Oh. He only eats things out of a dumpster. Did he get kicked off yet?
Not yet. Okay. I don't think.
All right, and that one guy on there, the gay guy with the... Oh, we'll get through it later.
Yeah.
Which one?
A couple other words that you'll... And I think you'd laugh at this. One of the words they added, I guess, in previous years was aha moment, inspired by Oprah. Stephen King popularized the word earworm.
Yeah, earworm.
Earworm
yeah.
got in there. And also, rounding out the other top 25, there were craft beer, which I guess is like a beer that they make in a shed somewhere. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Also known as Marnie's Moonshine. All right, Harrison, start writing down the lecture.
Also the words...
I figured I'd hear from her this week.
Also the words e-reader, game changer, a new definition for the word gassed, which is slang for drained of energy, a gastropub, I'm not sure what that is, geocaching, shovel ready, and tipping point.
I like shovel ready.
Shovel ready, which is a construction term. I'm going to rip through this really quick just because I had to do it. This is a happy story for me. You saw me post this on Facebook. Yeah. I swear to God, I don't know what is up with all the goddamn drug addicts and meth heads in this fucking world. Quit stealing other people's shit.
Oh,
please.
No matter what it is.
No
just
matter
stop.
What it is. If it's not yours
don't
leave
take
it alone.
Hands get a job. Off.
So Jesus. last night...
Unless you're on the U.S. swim team and I'm touching your crotch. Then,
and you're peeing in the pool.
That's just necessary.
Exactly.
So... last night, as I do, I try to be responsible, and it's not even a going green thing. It's just responsible. I ride my bike in Central Phoenix everywhere, and if I'm going to have a beverage, I ride my bike. I lock it up. I have lights. I have headphones.
We have a bike gang. Don't pretty that up.
We have a liquor.
We're mean bitches.
A liquor and streets bike gang. So last night we walk out
side
of the bar.
Streets.
I what did I say? Sides what?
I don't know.
Sidewalker.
Whatever. You stroked, out. You stroked out in the middle of it.
So, right. So,
your eyes still twitching.
True story. We walk out of the bar last night after I helped the staff close, and I walk. What? The only fucking thing that's left is the frame of my bike, and that the U-lock works great
because
the frame was there, but the wheels were gone. They stripped my fucking bike. So, anywho, I was mad for a moment, but then I realized I started thinking about the replacement cost of this, and I called. This is where the silver lining comes into this. I called the manufacturer of the bike, and I had already ordered previous parts from them. Mm-hmm. The woman looks up the pricing. She says, oh, wait a minute, the prices, I can't find them. She goes, hang on, will you hold? I said, yes. She goes, quite frankly, though, she goes, I think this is going to cost you more than just to replace the bike. I'm like, I'll hold, let's see. She comes back, and she goes, I tell you what, she goes, I can't find the price to these rims. And since you got stolen, I'm going to ship them to you for free.
Wow.
I love it.
Isn't that nice?
That's your old bike, buddy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Your
that's
old
fantastic.
Bike. So the
and he said, awesome. He said he inherited it. You're alive, aren't you?
Buddy just said he wants it back.
Yeah. I use the word inherit because he didn't want anything.
I know. I got my finger on the pulse of Buddy early.
Buddy just said he wants it back.
When I told him, I was going to give it back to him.
Not anymore.
I was going to give it. It's going to have new.
Oh yeah.
It's going to have new rims and tires.
Oh, it's a shadow of its former self.
Can you paint it?
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, because Barbara Seville asked me to give it back to you because she
know,
wants to
she
ride
wants
with
to
you.
Ride. Yeah, right. By the way, I think you said liquor and street side gang. And
yeah.
That's what was going
liquor
on
and
my
side
head.
Streets.
That's kind of
funny. Liquor and look side it up streets. On Facebook. Yeah. Join us. Like us. But anywho, what I was going to say was it's just so nice that I called. She was nice to me. She's shipping me new tires for this thing or rims or whatever the fuck they're called. So I'll have that back together
that's
and then
awesome.
I could give that. But it's just, it was a silver lining on a day because I was like, really, you motherfuckers?
Yeah.
But it all worked out. I was happy. So that, and to me, that
when
was
when are they going
to
put a camera back there?
They do.
But what you need, and I've been on this website. I've been on this website so many times. You need a well-lit area that's well-traveled.
There is that.
And that you have to have people buy it all the time. Yeah. So that if someone is down there with a wrench taking your tires off, someone, even drunk, is going to go, are you supposed to be doing that? Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
The place that he's talking about, it's in the back by the dumpster where the freegans eat.
Right. But the deal
fucking was... Fucking freegans. That's one more person you can't date. You want to go to dinner? No, I want to go to a dumpster.
The kicker of the goddamn thing was, I was watching the camera the whole time we're sitting there, and just during the closing process, we took our eyes off the camera for 15 minutes, and goddamn it, if that wasn't it. Because when I, right before I walked out, I looked at the screen, I'm like, I can't see my tires. Mm. Walked out the door, and it was fucking laying there.
Sure enough.
But they didn't take my drink holder, so thank God I transferred that to one of my other bikes. So we rode here today in true form. We really did. It was good.
Nicely done.
Oh, we try to do things the right way. Well, here's sports with Buddy.
Oh, already?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Here are your sports headlines. The United States is still the best where it counts in sports.
Sports!
Gay Olympians.
Sports.
Yeah. Gay Olympians tied Jamaica and Iran in gold medal count. And the Pac-12 network fills the last void for couch potatoes. Those headlines and our favorite Olympic moments here on the Al Perkins Show. wait. What? I don't know about that.
Well played.
All right, I'll write you a check after the show. Thank you.
Well, the U.S. may be one of the fattest countries on Earth, but it's also got the best athletes. With the close of the London Olympic Games, the U.S. came out on top of the medal stand with 104 total medals, 46 of them gold. The Americans' expected rival China faded over the last several days, finishing with 87 medals, including 38 gold.
That's the year I graduated high school.
Close on the heels of China was Russia with 82 total medals. And I swear, if they had another 3 or 4 days of the Olympics, Russia would have surpassed China because they came on strong at the end.
They were mad.
Well, wouldn't you be if you were from Russia?
Well, they're cold.
You've seen their women?
It's that one eyebrow.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need two to be nice.
Wait, they had men there?
Well,
stand by.
Host nation Great Britain with 65 medals had its greatest haul since the 1908 Games, which it also held, which during that Games, Great Britain won like an absurd 148 medals or something, because I think they're only,
the only team
six
competing.
Countries there or something. Incidentally, Brazil, the host nation always gets a bump in medal count because a combination of reasons. One, they prepare extra hard, they make sure their athletes are ready, and there's just that adrenaline and the home crowd, whatever. Brazil is hosting the 2016 Games.
Oh,
they've got
Jesus.
Some work to do because they only won 17 medals in these Olympics. So,
and we got
to
go. I mean, we got to go and
really
add our home team support.
Oh, my God.
We really do.
Okay, so I got to interrupt you already.
Already? I've been waiting.
God, that was he's on a 6-minute delay today.
Who is he, NASA?
So it turns out the British,
and
I think it was in Atlanta, only won one gold medal.
Yes.
Or something embarrassing. And so they've been funded by the lottery. The state, the British lottery has been funding.
They started the lottery for that reason.
To fund the Olympic team. And now they're worried that because it has to be like 40 years before London can get the Olympics again, that now the great outcry from the people is, please don't stop this. We like our sports.
Yeah.
Like now the not that the whole country wasn't into athletics and stuff like that, but there's a worry now that money might go somewhere else.
Right.
And it's a great thing. It's healthier people. I mean, we're all idolizing an 18-year-old who, I don't know, likes to take a shower. So, there's one thing on here.
Double it and add 30, it's metric.
Okay, now I'm done. Go ahead. I'm done.
Okay,
that's
no
awesome.
More. We'll come back. Well, actually, we're still on the Olympics. Over a third of all out athletes in London stood on the Olympic podium. 10 publicly out and gay lesbian Olympians took home medals from these games, most of them gold. If Team Gay was a country, it would have finished 31st overall with 7 medals, tied with Mexico, Ethiopia, and Georgia. Not the state. I looked at Marnie for that.
Hey, I know. He was, yeah, I get it.
Gold medal winners included Simone Augustus,
the soccer team,
U.S. basketball player, Megan Rapinoe, a U.S. soccer player. Who just came out. Great Britain's Carl Hester in equestrian, and 4 members of the Netherlands field hockey team. Oh. Again, 4 members of them are out. We don't know about the whole team. Right. And Lisa Raymond of the U.S. won a bronze in mixed doubles tennis. Again, I stress for the third time, these are only the athletes who are out because some of those divers, a lot of those divers and gymnasts.
You brought it up, so you got to pay for it. Was that last platform diving, the men's competition, not one of the most nail-biting
experience? It really was.
Because I'm in a news blackout, I treated it like it was live. I had no idea
who
won.
I didn't either.
It was gorgeous people doing gorgeous dives. It was just pure athleticism, and it was edge of your seat.
It was sad, somewhat, that the defending medalist, Matthew Mitchum, who was the...
Didn't even make it to the semis. He made it to the finals,
and he was, after the 2008 games, the big... I mean, even since
then,
the great gay hope, you know, because
Oh, and he was charming on TV. A great presence! Charming. Like, he brought a lot of energy to the first 2 rounds.
Yeah,
it was great. It was great TV.
Yeah,
but I mean,
I fell in love and got married about 8 times on my couch.
Oh man! All right, the Pac-12 Network debuts tomorrow night, and with its debut, it has a 12-year contract with Fox and ESPN in place. Every home football and men's basketball game will be televised this season. Numerous men's and women's Olympic sports, such as tennis and gymnastics, also will be shown. The network is launching 6 regional channels, known as Pac-12 Arizona, Pac-12 Los Angeles, Pac-12 Oregon, Pac-12 Bay Area, Pac-12 Mountain, and...
I got nothing.
Pac-12 Washington.
A lot of packing.
Thank God, because I watched the most embarrassing show on Lifetime ever produced, and I love it, and I can't even admit its name because the shame spiral is so high. But I have to tell you that the promos for the reality shows, it seriously is just the worst part of humanity. And if we... Seriously, if you just put on something from gymnastics or something from NCAA competition and show me some people doing real things,
honestly,
and accomplishing something.
You put on a track meet between Oregon State and Utah. I will watch that.
Yeah. And it's halfway decent human beings doing something worthwhile. Like,
exactly.
I saw commercials for reality shows that I wanted to trade in my human card.
Yeah. And that's generally, I do have a few guilty pleasures with reality shows, but for the most part, the reality shows that I watch are competition-based.
Right. And somebody has some talent somewhere.
Yeah, and there's some skill or talent somewhere. And
Not The Real Housewives.
The Real Housewives is a shameful addiction of mine.
Yeah.
I can't even, boy.
Now, I have a question on NCAA. Now, Penn State scholarships are getting diverted. Are getting taken away. They're getting less scholarships.
Yes.
So whatever it is, you'll know the exact number.
Oh, 20 per year.
20 per year. Okay, so now do those scholarships go to other schools?
No.
That sucks. Because that means 20 less people.
No. Okay. Not,
I would have thought so.
Not,
I would have thought so,
what they do is they don't say, okay, we got to divide up these 20 scholarships. But they are giving other schools the leeway to add scholarships if they're picking up specifically if they're taking players who are exiting Penn State, like
I'm
transferring, they're letting say USC add. USC is not the best example because they've been on probation, but they would let Arizona State add to its scholarship total.
Yeah, because I was thinking that was my question, and now with what are they thinking of doing them? I can't accreditation. They're losing the accredited. They're threatening with that. But I think if there's 20 less scholarships for 20 less people to go to college, that's 20 people paying for Joe Paterno's mistake and the rapist child molester whose name we won't say. But I just had a problem with that. Like, where's that money going?
Well, 20 out of several thousand who play football every year, Division I, I don't really know that that's – it's going to come out in the wash.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was wondering. That was my question for you. Move on. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. But that's a good question.
That is a good question.
But it'll
work. Al had
work
a good
out.
Question. Let's hear it for Al.
Nicely done. Well done.
Since you know, this
not
is
just
our...
telling us something, he was asking something.
I don't know
he
everything.
Asked someone else
Even
to
I admit that.
So
he asked someone else
before
to speak.
We before we end our Olympics discussions, because the Olympics are over, I wanted to just do a little roundtable real quick and find out what everyone's top Olympic story was for them, because and there's so many. I mean, there's everything that happened in the pool. There's Usain Bolt, you know, May and Walsh getting their third straight gold medal in beach volleyball. There's the gymnastics. For me, the top story is Oscar Pistorius, the track star from South Africa, and everything that he went through and didn't end up with any medals. But that story for me was the one that I'll remember most from this Olympics. Mm-hmm. So what about you guys?
Maren, you want to start?
I don't know.
I'll
how
go next.
Do I
okay,
this?
Here we go.
How do you want me to answer?
She's
going to
talk about the chili cook-off this week. And
I'm kidding.
Are you ready?
Shut it. Yeah, Missy Franklin.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Yeah, Missy Franklin. Everything about her. Just class act.
All right, you're stealing all my thunder, so I'm not going to go with my number one.
Okay.
British diver.
Daly?
Tom Daly.
Tom Daly.
Mm-hmm.
Not Tyne Daly.
No.
Totally different.
Tom Daly. Just
she can't go in vertically.
You stole. Wow, that's
talking
funny.
About a splash.
he had the whole country's expectations on his shoulder, and he came away with bronze. There was no pouting. There was a great celebration. Just that bronze medal that... Coming in third, and I would have to say the whole British team because it was the same with the British guys winning the bronze in gymnastics as well.
And in just track that, and just field, that, everything.
I honestly,
no pouting. They just were so excited to be. They achieved something. They got on the medal stand, and I just thought that was a great testament to sportsmanship. That you didn't win, you didn't even place second, you placed third. Yeah. But when the team threw him in the pool. And when he clapped, when he realized that he'd been beaten, and he clapped for the American diver and appreciated everyone else's dives being perfect. Like, it was three perfect dives. It was an amazing moment. All three perfect dives in a row. He got tens, but he had a lower level of difficulty. And I thought the sportsmanship and just the good nature of all of them being excited, not that they won, but that they achieved something. Right. I thought that's the whole spirit.
It was truly the, it's not if you win or lose, it's how you play the
game. It's how you play the game.
It truly
was. And I thought they really showed... Some real class, and I was masturbating while I was watching him die. I'm not gonna lie, so I wasn't classy, but he was.
Wow,
that's weird.
Wow, because
there were a lot of spots on Al's couch. Apparently,
I told you two wet spots, one on each end. Well, one in the middle. I'm not that tall.
Oh. Wow, I knew.
God,
Jesus.
Oh,
Clayton,
and this is why you have to listen to this hour two, because it just gets worse.
Wow.
Now I'm going to preface what I'm going to say with the fact that I watched the opening ceremonies. Last night.
Yeah. Because, she's on a 16 day time flight.
No, because
I can land on Pluto.
I recorded it. I recorded it and then I didn't record any of the rest of it. I caught it here and there, yada yada. I caught a lot of it more on the news than watching it live because my world does not, I just don't sit and watch all that stuff. But Al came over last night and I went through the closing ceremony. We watched through that. So, because I had to see, obviously, George sang. So I had to see that. I want to see how they all put it together. And I marveled with that, which I'll come back to in just a second. But what I guess the things that really stuck out with me was obviously, isn't his nickname the Blade Runner?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I'm sorry. That's insane. You are, and you're keeping up really with pretty much everybody else, and that's insurmountable. That's crazy. The runner that heard his legs snap as he was running and kept running.
The American?
No. Yeah. So I would have been like, and we're done. I'm out.
Uh-huh.
That's insane.
I agree.
That you did that? Now, obviously, the diving was beautiful and all that other stuff. But
it wasn't just beautiful. They were perfect. That was three tens in a row.
But
it was amazing.
What I always come away with, and I'm even with this, in as much as I don't give a shit about football or baseball or anything else, I come back from the technical aspect of it. And like I was sitting with, again, Al at my house last night. How in the hell did they pull all of that off? There is so much going on. All the lighting, all the camera shots, every angle, everywhere. And you're like, how do you do that?
I love on the track how they have the camera that like kind of follows.
Right.
Did you see that at all on the track and field stuff? Like right along the side?
And I've told you about
everything.
When I watch football and the first time they did that camera in the middle of the field, that I'm like, where's the camera? Where's the camera? Where's the camera?
Yeah.
And show me another angle. I want to know how you do that. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Like,
the fact that they can get
every single time somebody does, I'm like, where'd you get that camera? How'd you get that shot?
That amazes me. So I literally sit there and I'm just astounded. Like I was saying to Al last night, where the fuck did they rehearse this closing show?
No,
there's
true.
Not enough room in the rest of England.
Wembley Stadium, because they would just go to Wembley Stadium.
I don't even think it would fit in that.
No, Wembley Stadium is way bigger.
Oh, then that, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wembley Probably. Stadium's one of the biggest venues in the world.
Oh, well, cheese and rice. I know. That's just insane.
We'll ask when we get to Brazil. We will ask questions. We will interview people. We'll walk
it
around.
It was. But then, to me, that was it. There were a few of those moments, and I'm sure there were others if I'd really paid attention. But I'm overwhelmed by how. And I'm sure in previous years, there were just as beautiful camera shots with the technology they had. But I've never experienced or seen something that was that vivid, that clear, that beautiful. I don't care if they're looking at a hedgehog. It was gorgeous.
Right.
Every camera shot.
I tell, just when you think maybe there's no reason for high def TV, the Olympics come on and you're like, well, there it is.
Right.
Yes. And I know that you want to, but what was the worst? And I'd like to talk about that now.
We can do
that. Okay, we'll do that next. We got to do that.
Pie's
over.
Okay.
Pie's over. First pie's done.
Oh, pie's done.
But we're only 38 seconds off according to the atomic clock.
Actually, we started a minute or so late, so we're fine.
Okay.
It's the show with Clayton McKee. That's me. I've got cohorts Marnie, Buddy, and Al with me. We're going to talk more. Don't forget, we go for 3 hours. The second hour is broadcast. The third is recorded and then posted a little bit later. Coming up in just a second, the drinking disclaimer, where we get our drinking word for the second hour. And then Al does his live crosstalk intro. And then we talk aimlessly for another 40 minutes.
Because this was so organized.
It's four people, four lists.
There's no reason for me to talk
40
now.
Minutes.
Well, now I know why, because you don't know what it is.
It's whatever. Fuck you.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening once again. 801, the Valley of the Sun is what we're broadcasting live from. It's Q Talk America. Thank you for being with us. It's The Show. We attempt in some meager form to pull off this dog and pony show every Tuesday night. Sometimes we make it, sometimes we don't. I'm here with three of my best friends. It's Marnie, it's Al, and it's Buddy Hurley. Oh, hour two starts the drinking game. So, I guess here we go.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
And your drinking word, in honor of its introduction into the dictionary, although in bastardized form, is fuck.
You're listening to Q-Talk Arizona.
You completely threw me off. What did you say?
In honor of its bastardized version being introduced into the dictionary, our drinking word is fuck.
Oh,
so
good.
Cabs are available, as well as our ambulances.
Oh, my God.
Can we also drink at the utterance of F-bomb? Because
yes.
I'm fond of that now.
I'm sure. We should.
Yeah, F-bomb is okay.
I'll go with that iteration. How do you say that?
Alliteration.
That's one way to say it, apparently.
I have no idea. Jeez, I just fucked that up.
But now I know.
What?
She's not paying attention because she's on the fucking phone.
She's all
don't get mad.
Fucked up.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't Marnie be in the ladies' room?
I know. No, that's during sports that she runs the ladies' room.
Yeah. No, I know.
She missed
normally
it.
So here it is. The thing that annoys you most on any show. Crosstalk.
No, you didn't do
four
that.
People, four lists, 40 minutes. Good luck. Marnie, start us off.
Well, that's weird. The thing that annoys me most...
No, crosstalk. When people talk over each other like I talk over you every fucking week.
Oh, this isn't thoughtful vulgarity.
Jesus Christ.
This is four lists.
I can't keep track. I'm not even 6 minutes behind this time.
No, that's... I've got to get another song for his intro, but we'll do that. But this is just four people, four lists, 40 minutes. So whatever you want to talk about, bitch about, go.
All right. Then I will.
Okay.
All right.
And your arch nemesis is happy. She's sitting at home.
Hi, Luke and Bill. This is for you. So I found this thing online, and I know that it's not just from this Olympics, but to go with the Olympic theme that we had during sports, there was a thing, the top 9 comments made by NBC sports commentators
oh, Jesus.
During the Olympics that they'd like to take back.
We're going to toss now to your local affiliates for news. That's what they probably want to take back.
Right. So number one was in the weightlifting. The weightlifting commentator said, this is, and I'm going to screw up this name, this is Grigorieva from Bulgaria. I saw her snatch this morning during the warm-up, and it was amazing.
Oh, my God.
That's good times.
Yes.
Oh, my.
The dressage commentator, which is...
Dressage.
Dressage. See, I knew I'd say something wrong. This is really a lovely horse, and I speak from personal experience since I once mounted her mother.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you for the dressage. I'm ignorant to that.
Stop saying you're ignorant.
Well, I really am.
To, like, I'd rather you
horses,
say you were retarded. It would be less offensive to me.
Well, not to me. Paul Hamm, the gymnast, oh, yes, remember, yeah, 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 the, yeah. One of the twins. I owe a lot to my parents, especially my mother and father.
Oh.
So he got all the brains on that side of things.
Oh, God, I missed that. Okay.
The boxing analyst. Sure, there have been injuries and even some deaths in boxing, but none of them have been really that serious. I just love the idea, like, to be able to see that, really, like, damn.
Because you want to be the other person in the booth going, you fucktard.
Yeah, yeah, but not just that, but as I was reading these, I'm like, oh, that's aww. Me. Like, I would so do that.
That's funny shit.
Softball announcer says, if history repeats itself, I should think we can expect the same thing again.
I'm having deja vu all over
oh, that's
again.
Right, yeah. That's right, and again and again. A basketball analyst said he dribbles a lot and the opposition doesn't like it. In fact, you can see it all over their faces.
Oh, my God.
Wow, my arch nemesis is really helping
I
you.
Know, right?
Oh, God damn.
At the rowing medal ceremony, isn't that nice? The wife of the IOC president is hugging the cocks on the British crew.
That just sets itself up for fun.
Totally.
Golly.
Soccer commentator, Julian Dix is everywhere. It's like they've got 11 dicks on the field. And last but not least, tennis commentator. This one was my favorite. One of the reasons Andy is playing so well is that, well, before the final round, his wife takes out his balls and kisses them. Oh, my God, what have I just said?
That reminds me back to Johnny Carson years ago when somebody was playing golf and she says, well, yeah, I wash his balls before every tournament.
Right.
He's like, really?
You want to pet my pussy yeah. only if you get you that cat off your lap?
Yeah. Oh, Jane Fonda.
So, I
applaud your delivery.
I like, know. Oh, that was good. That was your finest moment.
Thank
yeah. 3 months
Thanks.
Of rehearsal.
It takes me a little time.
It's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
Yeah, well, it is.
Well, anyway, and I thought last week was all the way downhill. No, I wanted to give a shout out to, and I'm, again, probably going to pronounce it wrong, Polio? Ron Polio?
Oh, that's my list.
Sorry.
Oh, it's all of our lists.
Welcome back, Carter.
Well, good, because he made me put it on yeah. his, cause, on mine, because he said I talk too much.
Horseshack.
Yeah.
From Welcome Back, Carter.
Oh, Horseshack, I'm sorry.
Horseshack.
Fuck.
That
drink.
Fucking
fuck.
Idiot.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. No. Drink.
Oh, God. I just made a drink.
Anyway, 63 passed away of a heart attack. You know, they said he had a bad cough. I guess he was a
long-time smoker.
Long-time
but
smoker.
See, now she's missing the important part of the story, too, that
Which
got
part?
Somehow got buried. He had
his
partner, 41
oh,
years.
Really?
Yeah.
41 fucking years.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'm sure he was playing a teenager at 30.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah.
Because the only real teenager in Hollywood was John Travolta. He was the only person that was famous
the
as
the only
a
other
teen.
One. Yeah.
So, I mean, I just thought that was amazing. I mean, dead at 63 and able to have a 41-year relationship. God yeah. bless him. And yeah. they said he loved theater. They didn't say he was gay. I love this. They said he loved theater.
Yeah, depending on what you read, he loved theater. Yeah, he graduated from college with a 3.6 grade average at 19.
So he was 27 when he was on Welcome Back, Carter.
I told you, no one's a teenager.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Stalker right. Channing was 40 playing an 18-year-old right. pregnant girl. So
Gabrielle right, Carteris right. on 90210 was in her 30s playing a freshman.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
they were going for their AARP yeah, card, right. but then
well,
fucking show ended.
All you have to do is toss to the Glee cast, and you got the same thing.
Right.
True story. Yeah.
Yeah, but I like that show. 90210 annoyed the shit out of me. Hated that fucking show.
Monday nights were a bitch.
Gabby Douglas.
Look how prepared you are.
I know. Look, I even have handouts for a couple of things.
Oh, I didn't bring any handouts this week.
Buddy, you got to be mean to her more often. Look at the results.
She's going to get on her game.
You're like Bela Lugosi as your coach.
No, that's not true.
So you're not bringing the lists, are you? I don't know what the fuck that
it's
was.
It's not Bella.
I know, but it's close enough.
But
keep reading.
It's cute. Gabby Douglas was on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Mm. I didn't get to see that, but I was excited.
It's okay. It's Jay Leno, so it'll be awful.
Exactly right.
But it'll make
but
your
she was on with Michelle Obama.
Right.
And I just thought that
was two out of three people I like. Okay.
Right.
You may know her as the first lady.
Yeah. But she, you know, Michelle Obama is on that big health kick for kids, especially in this whole nine yards, right?
We got to go political for just a tiny second.
Go ahead, please.
Because, you know, the new vice presidential kick makes everybody in his office do
P90, right?
Do that bullshit.
X90 or something.
So is the fundamentalist Christian Fox Network all of a sudden going to be all up in his ass for making people exercise?
Yeah.
Because he makes everybody in his office do the PX90 bullshit.
I can't
wait for Fox News to rip into him for wanting people to not eat. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sarah Palin's gonna call him a cunt. That's for you, honey.
I enjoyed that. Fuck that.
Fuck it. I need a drink.
So Gabby Douglas though admitted that she indulged in post Olympics fast food to the wrong person, healthy eating advocate Mrs. Obama. Because her big thing when she got done with the Olympics was to chow down like a breakfast sandwich from McDonald's.
Right.
And, of course, McDonald's is a sponsor.
Right.
I got to interrupt you again. I always think I'm not going to interrupt people, and then I realize it's me.
Duh.
I should have a buzzer.
Give me one of those shock collars. Shut her up! But, you know, somebody was saying about McDonald's, like, being the sponsor, and it's food that the Olympians would never eat. Yeah. And the true story is, if you talk to them, they eat McDonald's constantly. Sure. Like, all of their diets, because they're American kids.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they weren't raised in another country with a chef.
Sure.
They all of them enjoy, like, and none of it's endorsements. Like, they kind of, like, snuck around and found out that all of them were like, I can't wait to get a cheeseburger into this bitch.
Right.
So it was kind of funny that maybe not some of the other products, but they might not have Visa cards, but they really do all want some McDonald's. And I don't eat McDonald's, so this is in no way, I think it's gross.
And the other side of that coin to me is the fact that shows that I'm not endorsing. I mean, I enjoy McDonald's as much as some other people do, yada, yada, yada. But
especially during St. Patrick's.
But of course, the Shamrock Shake.
And the
McRib and the eggnog shake at Christmas.
Oh, I do appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
But that kind of shows you can eat that shit if you get off your ass. If you go and you work out.
Everything in moderation. Get, a little bit of exercise.
You can have a nugget. You can have a french fry. Buddy Early, obviously, you had a prize tonight. But it proves you can look like, well, maybe not just like that, but you can get pretty goddamn close. Just get off your fucking couch.
Right.
Do something.
Advice maybe all of us could take.
There was something that kind of creeped me out.
I have my clothes on.
Stop it.
Currently and before.
So I have a couple of fears. Well, anything that moves faster than me scares the shit out of me.
So most everything?
Everything, right. I enjoy snails. I enjoy turtles. These things are fine.
Watermelon wine.
Right, it's fine.
The occasional tongue in a clam.
Stop it.
Shoo.
So, but the idea, so there was this python. Did you guys see this thing about the python?
Yes.
Not Monty?
Okay, let me go ahead and give you a handout.
Oh my God. With a handout, Marnie. Mm-hmm.
Shut the fuck up! Is it invasion? I told you, it's a zombie.
What is this?
It's a zombie apocalypse.
Okay, hello.
They've killed it.
I can make any animal you want except for snakes because I don't have the counter space for that. Do you remember that from Steel Magnolias? I can't even think about what goes into an armadillo cake. How do you make red ice thing? I can make any animal you want except for snakes. I don't have the counter space.
This giant Burmese python. So I'm scared shitless of snakes.
And like, this is in the UK.
There's five women giving it a hand job.
Oh, in the Everglades.
Oh, it just says UK.
No, this is from BBC. I got this off of BBC, but it's from the Everglades.
All right.
So the python, now dead, was pregnant with 87
Shut
eggs.
Shut the fuck up.
87 uh-huh. eggs.
And you brought me a picture of that shit.
Oh, you have no idea.
Wow.
I
have to look at my pussy.
This freaks me out.
Your cat.
So they've been... these pythons, non-native Burmese pythons, have been blamed for
because they're Burmese,
staggering decline of mammals. So I'm reading on, and everyone says, oh, these they can't hurt you. These snakes, they can't. Just stay away from them. Fuck you. And I mean, have a drink.
Oh, good.
But really, if I saw something, I would have a heart attack and die. You know, so I thought it was ignorant. But it says, okay, blah, blah, blah. I should have highlighted poor Doug Wilkie right now. A 17.5-foot snake could eat anything it wants.
Oh, they said that on Shark Week, too. A 5,000-pound shark can eat whatever it wants to.
Right. They have been known to swallow animals, are we ready, as large as deer and alligators.
So a human falls well under the deer. Yeah. I mean,
I was like, shut up.
I'm a big girl.
Oh.
But I am not as big as a deer or an alligator yet.
I feel smaller than an alligator yet.
Yeah.
anyway, I just thought they apparently named it Delilah. Oh, that's a different one. But that was 18 feet and 400 pounds. Are you kidding me?
This was 400-pound snake? This
one? This one was 164. But this, in 2009, another Burmese python was found. But
who thought you would go on about trouser snakes?
I got to tell you. Shut up. So anyway, but that it freaked me out.
Oh, you said Burmese. My bad.
Because I'm so freaked out by snakes, I decided that I was going to overcome my fear with that little thing. The last thing is I wanted to see with this little handout. I wanted to see
another
if anybody
She's
knew.
She's killing me.
Yeah.
I had this one last week. I wanted to see if anyone knew
who
this
Clayton,
was.
You were so cute as a child.
What the fuck are you doing
who
to me?
Who is that?
That's George Michael.
That is George Michael.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Why are we talking about him?
Okay. Keira Knightley. Isn't it Keira Knightley? Look at that picture and tell me that's not Keira Knightley as a child.
Oh, my God. You're not kidding. Yeah. It is.
Who the hell's Keira Knightley?
Google Actress. It. It's her with a haircut.
This is Keira Knightley.
It's Keira Knightley. You're a fucking liar.
That's George Michael.
George Michael.
I'm not
You're an
know.
F-bomb liar. F-bomb!
F-bomb!
I think you have to take two sips if we use F-bomb.
That is Keira Knightley.
That is Keira Knightley. Yeah.
Well, hang on. I'm
no,
looking
it's not.
Around.
And on the bottom, it says George Michael.
How do you not even know who fucking Keira Knightley is?
He went to one movie in the last decade. Leave
and
him alone.
And she wasn't in 10,
And
apparently.
It involved an animated bear. How the hell does she look like that, woman?
And for the listeners, as Al says, however
ever
you
self-identify. Wow, you're even reading my mind during this.
I know.
Your arch-nemesis
okay,
is my arch-nemesis. Very good. Diane, look at your special powers are amazing from home.
So wait a minute. Who's supplying your shit? Is it my mom or Doug?
I swear to Jesus, it was me.
You?
No.
I promise.
I'm feeling a ghostwriter
behind
this.
On my father's grave. I swear I did all that just
today.
Okay,
all right.
I got to tell you, there's a remote control or a hand up her ass right now.
Oh, oddly, I have a Muppet story.
You get my... No, you can't. But you have my nomination as Woman of the Moment.
Thanks.
Woman in this room.
Did you hear that, Diane?
you get a nomination as Woman in this room. That's really fucking funny.
Well, seeing as how there are two of us, I think that's a
You had a 50-50
chance.
Oh, anytime, exactly.
She had a 50-50 shot on
Chances
that
are. All right, who are you going to throw it to?
I'm going to throw it to Clayton.
Okay. I wasn't ready, but we'll do it. I don't really have a lot to go on, except you just mentioned Muppets, which was funny, but did you know that I think it's tomorrow in New York City, the Children's Television Network, also known as Sesame Street, is holding auditions for Snuffleupagus.
No.
Oh.
Can you imagine? You could have an entire...
Except because Gary Weiner died.
Who? Wait a minute. Stop. Who? Who's Karen Weiner? Who's this? Oh, Gary? No, God.
Wow.
Cheesy Pete's. No,
wow.
Snuffleupagus? No,
no.
Not him?
Not Snortleupagus. Very different. Very different.
Totally separate.
And went
All
a lot...
mail can be sent to and... Q-Talk, Arizona.
And Snortleupagus was a lot faster than Snuffleupagus. Yes. No, but I was thinking, I heard that today on the radio that they're holding auditions for this, and I'm thinking... You get total anonymity. Nobody knows who the hell you are. Just like the guy who's inside Big Bird. Spoiler alert, there's a guy in there.
Is there?
But, yeah. Aww. So, but I'm thinking, if you're you could be Snuffleupagus because you just walk around and just swing that big head around and say, oh, bird. It's all you have to say.
Don't we know? I'm going to let that go.
Oh, but did you see the Roseanne?
It's on tape. I haven't seen
There's a joke in there about you've tweeted more times than Big Bird while he's being ass raped.
Wow. Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? No. No.
Oh, that joke makes my head hurt.
Oh,
fuck
no,
me.
And then I found...
Thank God for other people's jokes, right? I have nothing to say.
Fuck this. I'm drinking Crown with water.
Oh, atta girl.
Mm. Oh.
It's a long story. We're not going to get into
right.
it.
We're going to do an intervention right after the show's over.
Apparently. No. Come prepared.
We are
Christ.
Not doing it tonight. I am on a different bike than I'm used to. I have to pay attention riding home.
Yes.
I utilize one of my fleet of bikes.
My fleet.
My
yes.
fleet of bikes, yes. Meanwhile, Jason Carlton's still in bed all day. I've been busy.
Yeah, you're so judgmental.
No, right? I'm not. I'm just, I don't understand why people don't do stuff.
Because we don't have to.
But what? How do you not have things to do? I don't understand.
It's really easy. I don't commit to anything, so I don't have to do anything.
I don't understand. I have a million every day. I could never quote work again a day in my life, and I would have a bunch of shit to do.
Well, I have a weed eater that's broken again.
My weed eater fucking.
See, because anything that I think I might have to do, I just call you and say, "Hey, you want to fix this?"
That's why I'm always busy.
Right.
It's the circle of life.
Well, yeah.
I guess aww. Right. I found this today, and Al said he'd already heard it, but I'm going to play it because it just made me laugh. You've all heard of the, there's an app called Songify where if you, any text.
No, I heard it from you. I didn't hear
oh,
it.
I thought you knew of it previously.
Oh, no.
It was, the app on your phone is called Songify. It's something, if you speak into it, it will create a song. Well, somebody took Julia Child from PBS, and they put her in through Songify, and it just cracks me the hell out.
Bring on the roasted potatoes. Bring on the horses. This is what good cooking is all about. This is what good cooking is all about.
It just cracks me up. Julia Child.
It really did. Bring on the roasted potatoes.
Well, that's what you were playing.
It's funny stuff. So if you can find it, you look up on YouTube, Julia Child remixed cooking on PBS. It's like a 4-minute video of her, and it's just absolutely hilarious. Funny stuff that's out there. The other thing I was going to bring it only because nobody else really seemed to give a shit, and I missed it altogether. You may have cut it out. The closing ceremonies.
Yep, I saw the Olympics.
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is.
Were there sports?
I'm not on that big of a fucking delay, people. Drink, fuck.
Previous yes. listeners or however you self-identify might remember I've right. seen the Olympics.
At this point, Josh Rivers, who is still listening, is wondering, what in the hell is the show about? Well, Josh, we don't know either.
Yeah.
We're figuring it out ourselves.
But if you can draw it on a pie, Clayton will eat it.
God damn. I live in a radio. Shut up. No,
yes, you do. Ham.
Did you hear that George was being maligned for... tweaking his music in the closing ceremony with a song that nobody knew, which granted it's his latest single, George Michael.
Okay,
they some part of it, and I'd have to go back and re-listen because all I caught out of that whole thing was Freedom 90. But they said that because he took a segment and played his new song, which everybody in the audience was awkwardly trying to tap their toe to because nobody knew how to sing along to it. They were giving him shit because he brought something new in, and everybody else was doing. You know, stuff everybody
oh,
knows.
I
thought, what? Who gives a shit?
I was sober and sang along to every word, so I think this is a bullshit story.
I'm pretty much calling bullshit, too. I thought it was that. The other thing
is... you or I mean, I will take second on this one, that you might be a bigger George Michael fan than I, possibly. I mean, I didn't dress up like him is where that stops, but I would have
I
to say
I look like
that,
him naturally, thank you very much. For
all right. But...
Calm down. National contest winner.
I'm just saying that I think I would have noticed, or Tim LaPlante would have texted me immediately.
Right, so what the hell is he doing?
He went off script.
Yeah, I didn't get any of that.
So between the three of us, we'll get Darren Zimmer as our fourth consult on this one.
Right.
All right, who are you throwing to?
Oh, my gosh. I don't go. Well, we'll come up with something else. Who am I going to throw to? Well, Buddy seems unprepared. Let's throw to him.
I'm kind of prepared, although, see, when you get around to the third person, a couple of things have already been said.
Right.
I wanted to talk
but
about.
But you can throw your own angle in
well,
on it.
Well, you brought up the closing ceremonies, which is something that I thought I would talk about, but I could go on ever. I really didn't like the closing ceremonies.
I thought they were... Go ahead. Feel free.
Yeah,
poorly edited, poorly produced.
I loved some of the individual performances. Like Annie Lennox, although I didn't get it, I'm like,
fantastic.
What? It's just very typical of
that. That was I think that was the highlight of the whole thing.
She was amazing.
Apparently, it was about a little bird.
But they cut out Kate Bush, and this one's bitter.
Oh.
Who's got two thumbs and is bitter about Kate Bush being cut out for some dumbass show about a goddamn animal, which I care less about than your children?
Well, I just didn't get the whole... I'm not a big fan of British humor, and this whole closing ceremonies, to me, was like... It was... why I don't care for British humor, because so much of it is kind of illogical, and this whole closing ceremonies was just illogical.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was busy and hard to follow, and you're like, what's the point of this? And not attractive.
No.
Like, I agree. The opening ceremonies were very similar.
I always say there's a bad 80s and a good 80s. There's bad British music and there's good British music. Where is Duran Duran in this?
Right.
If you're going to tell me you're going to do an 80s concert, I am sorry.
But I mean, there's a crowded house.
Phil Genesis?
Phil Collins.
Yeah, there were some definite misses.
Definite misses. Mike Rutherford was there from Genesis, but he was part of that Pink Floyd tribute of Wish You Were Here. And, but if you're not going to have the guy singing Wish You Were Here, if you're not going to have the Wright brother from Oasis,
well, and who
shut
the fuck
the
is
fuck
this?
Up.
And why didn't Barry Gibb come walking out?
That's what I said. Maybe, that's what I said.
And maybe it's recent death.
He said it was too soon.
It's too soon. Right.
But then who is this? And because I don't know. Who is this Jessica S?
I don't know.
Jesse J.
Shut the fuck up.
You mean
Jesse J. Jesse J. Need to shut the fuck
I do
up.
Have to say
and I
though.
I just said fuck twice.
Okay, that's fuck all. Twice. Yeah. I will drink twice. I do have to say I'm going to interrupt Marnie, which is strange during Buddy segment. Jessie J, though, I will give it to her. She had a lovely voice. She was just cast in the wrong role.
She was twice.
You have a good voice, but you are not Freddie Mercury.
No.
And that whole thing of
or
having
Barry
the screen.
Gibb.
Have Freddie Mercury sing.
Right.
Yeah.
Radio Gaga. Yeah. Do the greatest moment, the worst song. I will hand it to you.
Okay.
Radio Gaga is probably the stupidest piece of shit song I've ever heard. But if you ever saw Live Aid and you saw the Wembley go nuts for Radio Gaga, you got to give it to them. Europe's stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had some misses.
Where's Elton John?
I actually thought
he stopped at the end. He backed out, right?
He was busy tweeting nasty things about Madonna, I think.
Yeah. And
did you see the picture where he showed his ass?
He backed out.
But did you not think Elton John might have upset the boys, the Princes? I thought Elton John may have been. Because, you know, the Princes trust. Yeah. She was a big music fan. And I said to him last night, the only reason I could think maybe Duran Duran and Elton John didn't show up is because they were such a big part of the Princes trust. And maybe...
Gotcha.
Maybe Duran Duran might evoke something. I'm reaching for straws here. I'm trying to justify shitty entertainment.
Backed out.
Right.
Yeah.
That they had a
because you can't rewrite Candle in the Wind one more time.
No, right. That they didn't. Right. They had a mismatched kind of meeting of the minds. That something happened. That's
why I actually thought one of the best sounding performances of the night actually was the what's the boy group.
Take that.
One Direction.
Yeah. They sounded great. That song is very catchy. I love them. They did a very good performance.
I
tuned out when the Spice Girls were on.
Yeah.
Not on purpose necessarily.
I went to do
other things in the apartment. But for the last 2 days, everyone's been talking about the Spice Girls again like they're back together. Did I miss something? Were they great?
I said to Clayton, I'm like, I thought this was the low point in human entertainment. I didn't know we were going to relive it like it was something to celebrate.
That's the thing is, you know, hey, you've got some great musical history, Britain. Why don't you showcase
that?
The Spice Girls is not part of it. So going down my list, I also wanted to talk about Ron Palillo, and you've done that. So up your nose with a rubber hose.
Nobody said that to you. You got that in, buddy.
Ew.
Shout out to Meryl Streep, who was on.
Is she a listener?
Yes.
Oh, if only.
Meryl.
Hi, Meryl.
Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah.
She was on Watch What Happens Live last Thursday, which is a horrible show, but I taped it just because I knew she was on. Because it's Watch What Happens Live, but nothing ever does. And she just epitomized the reason I love Meryl Streep, not just as an actor, but as a human being.
Oh, yeah.
And she is, like, the way she handles her life and her career is exactly how I want to do whatever it is I do.
Right.
And that is, let my work speak for itself.
When is that going to start happening?
And then,
well, you know what?
be a little goofy, dress a little goofy, make your speeches a little goofy.
And when you're in your 60s, say whatever the fuck you want.
Well, you're doing that
now. You know what? I'll drink to Meryl Streep and the word fuck on that one.
She always lets her work speak for herself. She's not on the red carpet 8 nights a week. She's not tweeting to get her name out there. She does incredible quality work, and people respect her for it. And anything that I do, whether it's being here on the radio or writing something or whatever I do, I try to live by Meryl Streep standards. Like, you know what? If it's good, people will notice.
Right.
I love her for that. And I just she was so great on the show. She's so funny.
And her greatest speech ever, and I want to say it's for Angels in America, where I had to agree with her. When she got up and accepted one of the million awards she won for Angels in America, and she said, you know, sometimes I think that I'm overrated.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is not one of those times. Because that was the greatest, I hate to say, it was one of the greatest p-
pieces of art ever produced was Angels in America, the play, the movie, both versions. Like, Tony Kushner can pretty much do no wrong in my book. But I thought that production was the pinnacle of, like, what art is yeah. meant to do. And her performance in it was breathtaking. And she four roles, how many roles did she play?
Four, I think.
And then she went on to say all the women that she beat in the category were, we'll probably get over it, but unfortunately, Emma Thompson's probably going to hold a grudge. Because in a hand-to-hand combat situation, right. Emma Thompson was the second greatest performance yeah. of all time in Angels in America. Like,
great, great miniseries.
Yeah.
Okay, so for lack of a real list, because I've been a little shouting Ron Palillo, Meryl Streep, I actually have a little mini list, since a couple of us are cinemaphiles here, and Doug Wilkie, if he's in the chat room, loves to chime in on his movies, and Clayton is still waiting to get around to seeing Moonstruck, so he'll be...
No! I saw that. I just don't know that I remember all of it. I remember it. Snap out of it!
I wanted to mention five films that will be out this year that I think you should look out for.
Oh, okay.
Moonstruck is one of them? No.
You should always look out for Moonstruck.
Yeah. The first, we'll just get this out of the way, Les Mis, because we've talked about it in previous shows. So freaking excited. I jizz every time I think about it.
Yeah, man.
Perfect casting.
Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect Tom casting. Hooper is directing. It just can't go wrong. Yeah. By the way,
the pedigree of this film is really top notch.
By the way, these five films I'm going to mention, one of them is going to be a colossal bust. I don't know which one, but one of them will
be. Yeah, one of them will fail.
The next movie is The Sessions. I don't know if you've heard about this, Al. It could be, I don't know if it's going to be lighthearted or what, but it could be sort of the Little Miss Sunshine or Juno of this year.
I think Moonrise Kingdom already
took
that role.
That's a good point. It's called The Sessions. A man in an iron lung who wishes to lose his virginity contacts a professional sex surrogate with the help of his therapist and priest. What?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
John Hawks, who was so great. In
everything. Yeah. Everything. Perfect Storm, which he's never seen, and we reenact on the street in the rain all the time.
The Jennifer Lawrence movie, Why Can't I Think of It, was great.
Oh, Winter's Bone. Winter's Bone. If you have, listeners at home, if you have not seen Winter's Bone, turn us off.
It really.
Go rent that fucking movie. There's a better way to
spend
2 hours.
Quit getting rid of both of our listeners.
I know.
Helen Hunt and William H. Macy are also in it. It just sounds like a really intriguing movie.
Helen Hunt might be good in a movie. There's always hope.
She might. Here's a movie Marnie was alluding to earlier, which I think sounds really interesting, mainly when I found out that it's directed by Catherine Bigelow.
Yes.
It's called Zero Dark 30.
Yes.
A chronicle of the decade-long hunt for Al-Qaeda terrorist Osama bin Laden after the 9/11 attacks and his death at the hands of the Navy SEAL team in May 2011. I would have been like, okay, that might be. But then I saw Catherine Bigelow, who directed The Hurt Locker.
He has no idea. Okay. Just look at me. Yeah.
I've heard of it. It won some awards.
Eyes on the Prize Reader. I just want to tell you that I guess there are people in Washington, and this has been going around. It's kind of been whispered, and no one's really saying it out loud. But I guess she got more access than anyone is comfortable with on information. And I think this is going to, after the election ends and, you know, Medicare and welfare go away or whatever they're called,
right.
I think that's going to be the next big story. As part of WikiLeaks and all that stuff, was Kathleen Bigelow got way too much inside information about
even
that.
Better.
Yeah. That's why I'm really excited
even
about
better.
That.
Okay, here's a movie I put on my list because I just think it could be a really breakout sleeper hit, and it's from France. It's called Amour. George and Anne are in their 80s. They are cultivated retired music teachers. Their daughter, who is also a musician, lives abroad with her family. One day, Anne has an attack. The couple's bond of love is severely tested. This is already winning some awards at film festivals mm-hmm. around the mm-hmm. world. Michael Haneke, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but he directed The White Ribbon. He's behind this one. It just seems like, and I don't know much about French actors, but I think the people involved, the cast, are like the
girl
the tops.
Who played Amelie. Oh, Doug Wilkie's going to help us with this one. Amelie, it's called.
What is her name?
I thought that was Amelie.
Amelie, whatever.
What the hell is
yes,
her
it
name?
Is. She, no, oh, I don't mean oh, that. I okay. Just, well, I'll do that for next week. I'm that'll be my movie up. Tip for next week. Cool. What to watch instead. Go ahead.
So, yeah, keep an eye out for that one. It might be called Love when it hits the theaters here. It's called Amour in France. And this one, I'm just thinking this one has got it all regarding the, in terms of the description, the director, the cast, the subject matter. this is the one. It's called The Master. And it's. Directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, who directed a similar subject matter with There Will Be Blood, the kind of a very similar subject matter. This one is a 1950s set drama centered on the relationship between a charismatic intellectual known as the Master, whose faith-based organization begins to catch on in America, and a young drifter who becomes his right-hand man. Philip Seymour Hoffman plays the evangelist, if that's what it is, and Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, everything about this movie is
the right hand man. Amy Adams is in it. This is the one. This is the one.
What is that one called?
The Master.
The Master. I think that it. Yes, that's on the. It's not on the top of my list because Les Mis,
right?
Okay, that's so one of them that I saw in the preview.
The Master.
I believe it is.
Oh, so, I haven't seen a trailer yet of that.
Who did Amy Adams?
Philip Seymour Hoffman, Joaquin Phoenix. No, you probably saw the one with Clint Eastwood, where she plays. He played a baseball scout, and now she wants to be a baseball scout.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Which is supposed to be getting decent buzz as well.
Fantastic, right? But okay, sorry about that.
Audrey Tautou. Okay, if you do nothing else for the rest of your evening, find it somewhere. You need to see. He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not, which is probably the greatest surprise in a movie you will ever see. I mean, it is a fantastic movie and a twist at the end that will shock the shit out of you, and you will be amazed by it. You will call me tomorrow and like kiss me on the lips.
Is it more shocking, speaking of Audrey Tautou movies, of when you're watching a very long engagement and all of a sudden Jodie Foster shows up for a 20-minute cameo speaking French in a small... That was shocking to me.
Okay, never...
Okay, what movie was that again?
A Very Long Engagement.
Okay.
Another great movie.
Are you looking for Audrey Tautou?
Emily. Okay, the other one to see with her, Dirty Pretty Things. Yeah. You're going to spend the first 20 minutes thinking, Al's an asshole. Yeah. What the hell is this movie is about? And at 21 minutes, you're going to go, who the fuck would make a movie about this, and how can I get more popcorn?
Okay, so I have a question with the whole Amelie thing.
Yeah.
Did you guys actually like it?
Yeah,
oh, I loved it. Loved
it.
Okay. She hasn't made a bad movie as far as I'm
concerned. You're dead inside.
Right, no, I don't know that it's an inside.
I have
inside.
Four I minutes for my list. Look I at my generosity.
There you go, Di Luganville. I think that the whole like
nemesis.
I just don't like anything. Like Amistad, I was like, Jesus, can we get the subtitles off? I think it's about subtitles for me.
We'll have that conversation later. We don't have that kind of time. All right, so my list.
I tried, guys.
She was supposed to spend 20 minutes on her list, and then we all get six.
Yeah, all right, so I'm down to four, but she never talks. All right, Ryan Lochte wants to be a fashion designer, and he wants to be a fashion designer, and he wants to be on Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. Phelps is considering Dancing with the Stars because someone that he swam with said it was a good time and he thinks it would be fun. But Ryan Lochte wants to be on it, and he wants to be a fashion designer. He's not saying, I'll lend my name to this. Yeah. He's saying he wants to be. Read into that whatever you need to.
Real quick, do you remember when Chris Everett, back in the late 80s, early 90s, more like it, hosted SNL, and they did this skit where everywhere she went, Nora Dunn played Martina Navratilova, and everything Chris Everett was trying to do, Nora Dunn's was there as Martina trying to outdo her. She would be on top of Mount Everest reading a book, and up you know, Martina shows up. Hey, Chrissy, when did you get here? I see Michael Phelps maybe being that for Ryan Lochte.
I do. And the funny thing about Michael Phelps was that, as Michael Phelps said, he's a great swimmer, he's a great competitor, but I win when it matters. Like, he wins world records, he wins these invitationals or whatever they call them in swimming. He wins when no one's watching. I win when the world's on. And it's kind of funny.
That's
fantastic. We'll stick with the Olympics. Nick McCrory, the diver who came in like 9th or 10th, they could not show his bulge in that bikini.
Huh?
What do I need to Google now?
Oh, Nick McCrory. He was on the 3-meter board.
I'm Googling.
And he was doing well at first because the guy that won the gold was in last place, so that he was our American hope for like a whole round. They absolutely could not show his bulge in that thing, and I have never seen someone avoid a topic. It's like Marnie avoiding a question. It was the funniest thing.
That boy is hung
like a bear. It's all I can say.
Dang.
Okay.
I may have just shut down the internet. I'm not sorry.
A couple weeks ago, I was trying to think of the name of the most beautiful human alive that was in the Olympics.
Thank you, Al.
Oh,
I know.
That was in the Olympics.
No.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, not just in the Olympics. This is anywhere. And Google this at home. Everyone get your computers ready. His name is Ryan Bailey. He placed fourth or fifth in that race.
I told you what his name was.
I know, and I listened back to find out the name. Because I had to Google him because we were on the wrong guy.
He is gorgeous, isn't he?
Oh, sweet Jesus, my pussy hurts from looking at him.
He is
you're stupid.
He is the prettiest thing that has ever walked on feet. Ryan Lochte is seriously like the dumb cousin sitting in the corner next to this guy.
with an American grill.
That's the most beautiful man I've ever seen. For people that think Lochte's a douche, he reminds me of my friend Shane Wright, because Shane is attractive but a big douche. So that I wrote that down.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just found a picture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's it?
Holy God.
Okay, we're sticking to the Olympics. I think the women's track team in all their interviews. God, I got to talk fast because of Marnie. The women's track team is probably the classiest group of women I have ever seen interviewed as one. Yeah. When they won that last medal, they were gracious. They were charming. They had great hair. Who runs and has great hair?
Right.
Harrison, if you're still listening, you got to appreciate those bitches' hair because that was fierce. Those women were incredible, and I thought that was the classiest act on that thing. Now we're going to leave the Olympics, and we go to sex.
Wasn't it the same thing?
Exactly.
Well, for me. Right. Okay. The Pope has lifted... The Pope.
Yes.
The Pope. Yeah. Confirmed. He has lifted his ban on condoms to help prevent the spread of AIDS, and he calls it humane sexuality. Now, he was kind of adding caveats, like maybe condoms are only good in Africa, but he was very clear. So this whole thing about funding birth control and it's against the church has kind of just got shot down the shitter by the Pope himself, who has said condoms are now an okay thing to use for humane sexuality and to please stop spreading disease. Everyone agrees. I think everyone in this room, everyone will say that abstinence, as Buddy and I have been practicing for many years, is the best way to stop the spread of disease. But that's second best. I watched the greatest documentary I have seen in about 5 months called Veto. It's on HBO right now. It's available anywhere.
What is that? Because I was looking. That's so funny. On my guide today, I'm like, what documentaries are on this week? Looking for something to tape. And I saw Vito, but I didn't look at the description.
Vito. Vito Russo was one of the founding members of the Gay Alliance Association or Gay Activist Association in the 70s. He worked very early in the cause after Stonewall to get things moving to stop everything. Uh-huh. He was one of the people that got GLAD started. He was not a founding member of GLAD, but he was a founding member of ACT UP. He had the first all-gay podcast, kind of what we're doing here. Okay. He did it off of New York One or one of the New York shows. It was a public access cable show where he talked about gay issues, and he would only do positive things, which we're going to try to do someday. but the main
no,
thing was...
No, because that's not funny.
But they do all about ACT UP, and they talk about for younger... And I have a friend who berated me one day for not liking Ronald Reagan and saying, oh, yeah, all those AIDS victims would be alive if Ronald Reagan had done something. I'm like, yes, they probably would have, you dumbass motherfucker. And he's a listener, too, so he knows who I'm talking to. He knows who I'm referring to.
Mm.
But this tells you what they were doing, and we talked about it a few weeks ago with the blood donation, and not screening the blood and giving it to hemophiliacs, and how it was a gay minority disease and Ronald Reagan was not going to go near it. And they do the blood on their hands, all the signs that said Ronald Reagan, and they listed all the people. Jesse Helms, that fucker, motherfucker, drank a couple times. Not in his honor, but the fact that that fucker is rotting in hell and called himself a Christian. It's a powerful documentary, and when we always talk about oral histories and getting people on board on Pride... You want your Larry Kramers, you want your Randy Schultz, you want Vito Russo. These are important people in our movement, and it's an important part of oral history to share with people. Watch this documentary and find out why you can't vote Republican. And I started saying it about 12 years ago, but Vito Russo said it, seriously, hand to God, in 1980. He said, I'm glad that you want to vote for your taxes, but people are dying. So, and he was the first one to say Ronald Reagan got in bed with the moral majority and kicked out Jimmy Carter, who was a true, good human being, because he got in bed with those motherfuckers, and now we're all stuck with them, people that don't believe in evolution. Anyways, but the funny thing in this movie, and I'll try to bring humor to it because I can't, but gay revolution, politics that you can dance to. Is that not the greatest fucking quote ever? Politics you can dance to. And they're talking about how gay music and discotheques were a way to get gay men and black people together in one room and dancing.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, everyone was on the same page. And like disco was the great unifier to get people to dance and explore their sexuality on the dance floor, and the importance of disco and the gay movement. And that part of the thing about disco bashing is it's bashing gays and blacks, and to not realize that it was the white establishment doing that anti-disco stance because it was black women singing, it was gay guys dancing. There's a lot of politics involved in bashing disco, that it brought gay people together, that people don't realize that that was a movement that had evil behind it. Brad Easton Ellis, who wrote Ground Zero, something Zero, what the hell's the name of that book?
The,
He wrote the book
Less Than Zero.
Less Than Zero.
But also
white,
the
white cocaine
Christian
fuckers.
Bale
yeah,
movie.
American Psycho.
The
yeah.
movie,
he writes
yeah.
books about white people going wrong. He said, and he's a motherfucker. I never really liked him, but now I hate. Now he said Matt Bomer, who I call him Matt Boner because he gives me one. Matt Boner, probably the most beautiful man alive,
oh, yeah,
quite
I saw
possibly.
This.
He
I
said
this Bailey was.
Ryan Bailey is the runner in the Olympics, and he makes my pussy hard. But this guy does not. So Brad Easton Ellis, motherfucker, and wrote trashy novels about white people behaving badly, said that Matt Bomer, who is so beautiful and so perfect for the role, cannot be in the movie of 50 Shades of Grey because he's too gay, and an out gay man cannot play a straight person. So the article that I read said, then why the hell do you give Oscars to Tom Hanks and the one from the one in Brazil, the great movie in Brazil, Kiss of the Spider Woman. Why are you giving Oscars to straight men playing gay if we can't believe a gay man can play straight?
Yeah.
Fuck you, whatever your name is. And he is not being invited to write the screenplay because he's a dumbass motherfucker.
I'm gonna keep
wow,
drinking.
That was angry.
I
all
need
right.
a keg.
By there the way, the Jimmy Carter documentary, Man from Plains, is also on television several
one
times
this greatest,
week.
One of the greatest men. Probably not the most effective president.
Wonderful man.
But one of the greatest men that's
my
ever
mom
been.
My mom will say one of the greatest presidents.
Would be a much better president today. Too.
Right. Oh. But in a true Christian, like he truly espouses Christian values. Please get me out of this.
I'm going to get you out of this by doing this. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 8:45, and it's time for Thoughtful Vulgarity.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck. Well, hello. Since I was an angry homosexual earlier in this minute, we're going to turn it around. Billboard magazine decided this week, about 8 years after it was relevant, to list the top 40 Madonna songs in Billboard and all her accomplishments. Because as it turns out, and she passed this mark years ago and she hasn't done anything since, but they finally got around to putting it to the top of their list. Madonna actually has the most top 40 hits of anyone. The second is the Beatles, and you always have to give the Beatles. The Beatles were only active for 8 to 9 years, and I think it's only 7. I think I'm offering a spirit of generosity based on how evil I just was.
Forgive
in the last
me for
part.
Already being confused, because if you're going to ask me about Madonna, I'm just going to sign off now.
No, I just all I want to know, and I'm sure others will fill your time because Marnie's going to bitch about being first in a minute.
No.
Do you have, and I came out in 19, I'll just give a little precursor to it. I came out in 82, October of, and the first song I ever heard in a gay bar was Everybody by Madonna. So I always say that Madonna has been around as long as I've been gay. Like we are about to celebrate our 30th anniversary together. I've been out for 30 years and she's been she was relevant for most of those. So I just want to know, like, somewhere where in the Madonna spectrum, like, is there a favorite Madonna song? I know you have problems with moments. You can pick an album, a video. What do you think? And I think she's an important gay icon. Like, I think she's done. She owes everything to Donna Summer, but we won't bring that up.
Oh my God.
There would be no Madonna without Donna Summer. But Marnie, favorite Madonna song, album, video? Go anywhere you like.
Okay, you said go
political
anywhere
state,
I like.
Right? Concert performance. Okay.
Well, so my friend Jason bought us tickets to go see Madonna, right? And when he sent us an email about it, I wrote back, well, I'm a material girl who is like a virgin. I dated someone who was borderline. And I
we
had
all
to take
have.
A holiday after that relationship ended. Now, I know I shouldn't dance, but I tend to get into the groove and express myself when the right music is played.
Who is writing your material? You are
I
good.
Wrote this. I wrote this. I have many people yell, hey, I'm crazy for you when I walk by. I've told them to open their heart and they will live to tell more people how they feel. I explained how I need to justify my love. There was this one daddy type, kind of creepy, I told him. Papa, don't preach. And he backed off. He just kept saying over and over, who's that girl?
So how did you put this together so fast?
By the way, I wrote this February 27th. So
it's like I'm praying you.
So like a prayer that was answered, I got away from those people and learned to cherish my life. I remember I purchased a copy of Vogue. There was an article about going back to your childhood, so I did. I went to my elementary school and I said to myself, wow, this used to be my playground. I played kickball with the kids there and scored the winning run. They told me to take a bow for my performance, so I did. We all went to a baseball game after, which of course reminds me of American Pie. The kids tried to explain the rules, and I said, don't tell me, as if I don't know the rules of baseball. Sheesh, it's a part of American life. They kept trying to call me back, to come back, but I simply hung up. Years later, I became frozen the moment I saw the ray of light. It was wild. A lot of people stared and whispered that I was such a beautiful stranger. I thought that was nice. I drew the line when they said, give me all your lovin'. Anyway, you got tickets to what show? I'm not familiar with this Madonna from your state.
I don't know. We need to hire whoever writes for you this week.
Okay. That was me.
This is the 18th week of this fucking show. Where the hell has that girl been?
Yeah.
What's who's that girl?
What's going on?
Thanks. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know. I've been shy.
Buddy Early.
You know, I've always been
a material girl. Come on, do it.
No,
do it, do it.
No, early Madonna. I still think early Madonna is just amazing. You know, if you want to, you know, entertain me with Madonna songs, it's going to be Borderline, Dress You Up, Lucky Star, Holiday. With one exception, Hung Up is, I love that song, and that's from the last decade or so.
Oh, yeah. But
you know, one thing is, I've never been a huge Madonna fan. I think I actually like her better than I like her music, because I like people like Madonna and Lady Gaga, even if I'm not a big fan of their music. I love them being out there, which goes against what I was saying earlier about how much I love Meryl Streep for letting her work speak for itself.
Right.
But for what they're doing, you know, they're trying to push people's buttons and trying to talk about things and whatever. So I like her. But I have been to 3 Madonna concerts in my life, never paid for any of those tickets.
God bless you.
Which is great, including the time we had an all-expense-paid trip to Vegas to see her at the MGM Grand.
Oh, I saw that. Wow. Why are we always in the same place?
You were there?
I took a nap during that concert. It was the worst concert I've ever seen.
Every time I've seen Madonna, though, by the time she's on, I'm drunk as a skunk. So I think I just had a great time, you know?
That was a concert where, like, I get it. You can play the guitar. Yeah. Put it down and dance.
Yeah, I don't, but I don't have any Madonna memories. I'm sorry, Marnie.
No, that summed it up.
I like it, but I want an answer.
Well, that was my answer.
I don't think
so.
It was very good.
Of those 5 you listed, give me a favorite. So what's your favorite song? Like what?
Maybe Lucky Star.
Okay. Good answer. Clayton McKee. I think I pronounced that right too.
By the way, I just wanted to give a shout out to your
now,
mom.
Now, which one do you vacuum to?
His nemesis.
I don't vacuum anything.
She just sent me. You go, girl.
Oh,
nice. Who's
your
mom?
My arch nemesis.
I didn't. When was the
thanks,
and
guy.
Script writer.
She's not my script writer. God bless her, but no.
I want Al to be my arch nemesis.
Nemesis. Well,
you spent enough time with drag queens in gay bars to have a song that you're like, oh, I like this one.
Yeah.
So you can't even back out.
I mean, there's certainly not a way that you could say that there are a ton of them. They're fun. They get in your head. They're fun. You know, they dance too. They're good. They're popular. As far as anything that really sticks out, there's really only one Bill and Madonna moment, and for me, and oddly, it's connected to George Michael.
Jesus.
I love it.
Only because she introed him.
Well, they shared the 80s, the diva.
Right, right.
The real diva.
Right. When she introed him, I think it was the American Music Awards.
She outed him.
She actually, she has the diva himself, and she snapped across, and it was George Michael, and he walked out. And he walked out in the jacket that actually Madonna, the Divina then later had a local costume designer make for me. She, like the little bolero yellow jacket he wore. So I don't really have anything specific.
There's not one song in the 80s that made you kind of happy or drove your car to?
No, there were several that made me happy, but I mean, there was nothing.
Pick one, Marnie.
I was just going to say the same thing.
No,
that's
but I think if I go to something that when I hear it, I literally like listen to the song, like Live to Tell.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But everything else was just fun and happy.
See, and it took Marnie 45 minutes to come up with that last week. We're ahead of.
I'm sure if you gave me 15 minutes, I could change my mind
18 times.
115 times. Right. Oh, no, borderline. Oh, no, holiday. Dress you up. But I picked Lucky Star. It was...
No, I agree.
Who knows if that's really my favorite? It might be.
But I because I'm just going to stop you because you're...
No, I just was hoping... No. I just thought this segment was going to be deeper than this.
No, because you and Doug and yelled at me at Cobalt because I was asking too many deep questions and you wanted to...
I would like to
see that. That's a true story. You do. You guys told me you wanted songs. You wanted questions about road trips. You and Doug Wilkie berated me at Cobalt.
Can I have plausible deniability? Because yeah. I do not recall it. I don't recall
it. I know,
that.
But I'm just going to throw it in your face. I saw the Billboard article, and I thought I'd throw that yelling at Cobalt I got from the two of you.
I don't remember that. I don't remember.
Because I'm a bitch. Because what if there's a mean story? You know I'm involved.
I like it.
I have that same feeling, because if you ask me about the Supremes, what's your favorite Supreme song? Which one's playing right now? Because that's my favorite.
Right.
Like, whatever you just put on the radio or whichever song you just talked about, that's my new
favorite.
That's
my new favorite song. Right.
So we're going to go. We have time. We're going to go around one more time. Mine is the Blonde Ambition Tour. I thought that was the pinnacle of her career and success. She had a little glimmer at Ray of Light, because that song... brings me joy that you will never know, and I have to stand up and dance. I will stop a car and dance on a corner when I hear Ray of Light. But Blonde
Ambition...
Will
it be the corner that Leslie Baldwin is on?
Maybe? Yes, exactly.
Warzone have a picture.
With a 40 in a brown paper bag. she said it on here. I'm reading it.
And I believe her.
I just have to say to you that I would stand in front of my TV and dance along with Madonna and try to do those dances. I was in love with the dancers. I thought Like a Prayer is the greatest moment in pop history.
I almost said something about that.
I think Like a Prayer says all you need to say, and I thought that video was brilliant about making yourself a martyr.
Very.
Yeah.
Okay, so for a more real question, because we do have like 12 minutes left.
No, we don't have, we have like six.
We
seven.
Have 6 minutes left. So my question would be...
But it can all bleed over into hour three, because we have hour three now.
But we want to do like really, really like... fast first impression, 6 minutes to answer it.
Not each.
Because Marnie's got a writer now, so now it turns out she needs a fucking editor.
Oh my god, that's great.
That does not, by the way, that does not come out of his pen.
This is my new favorite part. I'm loving this.
Okay, now we're gonna get to the real vulgarity and the swearing.
Okay.
Like what is it in fast? Okay. What is it when someone talks about that you just get instantly pissed off? Like where do you just lose your shit and can't be control of your emotions?
Can I name two?
Yeah, sure.
women's rights as far as body, when it comes to body. And not that you guys would notice, but when people talk about folks with disabilities in a kind of disgusting way. Those two things.
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
I gotcha.
That's me.
For me, it's when anyone, either in person, on television, in writing, uses buzzwords or phrases to make people feel bad about how they feel. For example, to be more American than someone else because feel this way.
That or fucker Sean Hannity with "You're a good
that
American."
Kind of shit.
I'm going to drive a stake through his heart and find
that
out he's a zombie.
That kind of shit where the quote, the real America, the good America, demonizing the coasts and cities and, you know, progress. But anytime anyone uses any kind of buzzwords or phrases that... appeal to your sense of patriotism, even though what they're saying is fucked up. I lose my shit.
Hope somebody's there to clean it up,
fuck,
buddy.
Nice.
I get very annoyed when, and this happens all the time when you're out and somebody, if you don't greet them with "Hi and how are you?" Like you're on stage all the time. You just show up and you want to chill, and they're like, "Well, what's wrong? What's wrong? Are you mad at me?"
And I can honestly say about all four of us, because I think we all know each other well enough now that we're those kind of people.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Can I just sit here and just drink my fucking drink?
This is my crown and diet. I just came in for
alone.
Last call. I didn't come in. Now, granted,
I'm not here to entertain you.
No, right. And I appreciate it. If you're already four drinks in or three sheets or whatever you want, how you want to decide. I get that. But if I'm like, you know what, I just came in to kind of chill and just be alone, and it almost makes me feel like I shouldn't, I can't go anywhere unless I'm on.
Yeah,
and I do have that in certain moments, but
that leaves you alone on your couch, as I can attest.
Right, and I won't do that. But I like to go. But when I go, like I go to see just the people that are working, and I don't really give a shit about anybody else at that point. That sounds shallow, but it's like
no. But then they consider you rude because and fuck you.
Like, no, I can't be on 24/7. What's wrong? Are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? Did I do something wrong? No.
I've got to tell you the story in the third hour. You're going to lose your fucking mind.
Oh, then that's a bait right there to listen to the third hour.
I'm going
to
lose
my mind. So let's go to your answer your own question.
Mine is honestly, and it's the Chick-fil-A thing. It's when someone says, like, the gay people is like shaking your fist at God, or we cause hurricanes, or like any some natural disasters because of gay marriage. No. I will not sit still. I cannot sit silently and let you say something that horrible. Even though I know that 90% of the media and 90% of the public is like, that's so fucked up. Why would you take it seriously?
But it's a soundbite. They
Because if I was 14 and you told me that I caused hurricanes or I was shaking my fist at gods, it might affect me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It turns out nothing affected me as a child besides Barbra Streisand movies and Bette Midler. But there's that chance that you're causing harm to someone, and I honestly feel that people that sit there and say, I don't like politics, or I don't want... Fuck... Drink on that.
Yeah. I've been drinking every time.
You. Like, you have to speak up. There's no more silence. And the big thing about that veto thing, that veto documentary, was I forgot about this button, and I can't even tell you. I had to pause the screen and cry for a little bit. I forgot about silence equals death.
Yeah. Yeah.
I absolutely forgot about that button.
Wow, I forgot.
And that is what that is. That is the root the of all of this. Yeah. Silence equals death. You have to speak up, speak your mind, and let people know you will not blame a hurricane on me, motherfucker. Right. And then pick up a Bible afterwards. I'm going to shove it up your ass. Right.
A Bible, a wonderful book about fictional stories. Thank you.
Well, the bad part is Jesus is real, so you can't, like, it's not all fiction. No, he is a real person. Well,
yeah, but the book...
Right.
By the way, it's all in what you believe. It's all in what you want to believe.
And I had another
idea of putting hate behind it is where you can fuck yourself.
Right. I had a very nice conversation recently with one of my oldest friends. Like, we've been friends since I was 10 years old, and I thought she said something on Facebook that she didn't. Mm. I was tired, and I read a quote below her her, and I went after her, and I wrote her this mean email, and she's like... Okay, and she was, like, defending Christianity, and then she's like, I don't know where this is coming from. She's like, I love you. We've been friends. She was, like, my first girlfriend. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I read that wrong, and I have to apologize. But I was like, and she was like, but I love the fact that you were fighting anyone that came after you. And I'm like,
oh, so made your bond stronger, if you will.
No, but I had to apologize, like, publicly, and I put it all over the place. Like, oh, no. Sure. That sometimes you got to pull in the claws. Yeah.
That's
and it
true.
Turns out for the first time in 40 years, I did.
Note to self. Exactly. We'll make that note in the journal. Al retracted his claws and apologized all at the same time. Well, that's the end of hour two. As you now know, we do an hour three. It is recorded, not broadcast. You can download it. Hopefully, I'll have the show posted tomorrow. If you're listening on the rebroadcast on Saturday, well, you've already got it posted, so fuck you. It's the show. We do it every Tuesday night. It's Buddy, Marnie, Al, and myself. I'm Clayton McKee. Thank you for being here. It's Q-Talk America. We do it every Tuesday night from 7 to 9 live. And that hour three, once again, is posted for your downloading pleasure the following day or so. Thank you for listening. We'll be back,
in a minute.
In a minute, kind of. We'll see you next week.
Listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona.